All right, guys, we're here with Ashley as a special guest, Hustle at Home Mom, and we got Chris, we got Riff, and we got Ricky and myself, and we got Ben and Beth on the back.
Let's go.
And,
I guess we can like really kick off this first topic, and it's going to be a different perspective on reselling, but before you go into that, can we go into a little bit of background about yourself?
Yeah, so we wanted to bring Ashley on. I am your editor.
Yes, you are.
I've been, it's so weird. We've been friends for so long. We're in a group chat with my wife and your husband, and we talk all day, every day.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes
every day.
Sometimes awesome, sometimes inappropriate, but it's all the funnest way to talk.
Yeah.
But we finally got to meet you.
Yeah.
And you've been here with us.
It's been so fun.
It's been really fun.
You are just as animated in real life. Like, it's not an act.
Well,
he is this energetic and fun, and it's been just such a treat to be here.
Okay,
really.
Well. You, Hustle at Home Mom on YouTube.
Yes.
Doing great. Tell everyone who doesn't know, what is your channel? What do you do? Kind of like how you got to where you are. Just kind of give us the backstory of Ashley, and we're going to sit here and listen.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, I started reselling in like 2016. I just barely started. Like, I listened to a podcast and was like, I just want to go do it and try this. So I it was about Amazon, though. So I did some Amazon flipping from Walmart for a little bit, and then I started to flip stuff from garage sales and yard sales, and then I started an Instagram account in 2017, like January of 2017. I was like, well, let's just share some of my finds.
If you don't mind me butting in, what was your forte of what were you selling mostly?
I was selling mostly video games, actually, and books.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa.
I was.
Whoa.
Whoa. I didn't know that, did you?
Really? I've sold about $70,000 worth of video games in my
career.
I have, indeed.
Wow. You're one
indeed.
Of us.
Yeah,
it's resale, just blushed somewhere.
One of the original waxers, dude.
Yes. Okay, sorry, I had
you're
to hear
good.
That, but keep going.
Yeah, no, I would do lots of textbooks. In fact, textbooks and video games were my big categories. And one of my big ones, like early 2017, was I went to an elementary school closing down, or like a private school closing down, and they had all these textbooks in the back. And I was like, oh, how much? I had only like $200 on me.
Wow.
And they had tons and tons of textbooks. And you take the Amazon seller app and you scan like what they're worth. And I saw each book was like $100, $80. And they had like 20 of each one. So I had just a Kia Rio, and I just, it was like heavy. Like when I drove home, like it was like almost
you were a low rider all of a sudden.
Yeah. And I drove it home, and what's great about Amazon is you just scan it, put it in boxes, and ship it off to FBA. And so I did that, and it ended up selling for $10,000.
Wow.
Because it was textbook season the next month.
What a
and
start.
It was amazing.
Dude,
so 200
great.
Into 10,000. That wow. was a cool story until I did Whatnot with you. Now that's not a cool story anymore.
She was very impressed by a Whatnot the other night. It was fun.
Whatnots are crazy.
So I want to know, what got you into, so you're starting out with video games, then textbooks.
Yeah.
Right now, currently, you're like a high-end clothing, women's clothing reseller.
Yeah.
You're on YouTube. What kind of like jumped you into being like, I want to do YouTube? When did you realize you were successful? Like, kind of where did that all happen? How did it happen?
Yeah, I tried dabbling in both for a long time, Amazon and eBay, and I did both. But it came to a point where I was like, well, I have to kind of focus on one thing. And so when I started YouTube, which was from the encouragement of other YouTubers in the reseller community, they were like, you might be good at YouTube. You should try it, you know, because Instagram was going well. And I was the most reluctant YouTuber ever. My first video is just me holding my phone and going, just get through it, just get through
it. That's everybody, though.
That's everyone.
Okay. Yeah.
It starts ugly for everyone. And then it just started to kind of grow a little bit. And I would talk about Amazon and eBay. But then I realized, in about 2020, I kind of had to make a turn with, well, I only have so much time because I still only do this part-time. I'm a full-time mom for the most part.
Yep.
So I try to keep my hours 10 to 15 hours a week. And so I was like, well, I only have so much time to devote. Should I go all in with YouTube or all in with Amazon? And I decided YouTube. And by default, that meant eBay, because eBay, you can share all the cool stuff you find. Amazon is not conducive to sharing.
Oh.
So you don't want people to know what you're selling or what your account is, because they can do bad things to you. They can try to sabotage you. So I just decided, well, let's go all in with eBay. So I was doing both, and I just did more of what works with eBay. And someone who really inspired me was Tekken Sports. I don't know if you guys are familiar with who that is. He's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, clothing sellers on eBay. Sells about 100K a month, and he has this just very routine way of doing things that was really inspiring to me. And so I was like, well, it's just a numbers game. If on eBay I can get X amount of listings up, I'll have X amount of sell through and make this much a month, and it just be, and then I just shared it on YouTube. So, and it's been a very slow and steady growth with YouTube. It's just been here and there. It's never been a big spike. It's just been
which
slow
I think and steady. Is very healthy.
I hope so. Yeah.
I've said it before on the podcast that there's been many a big YouTuber, and I'm talking like the big guys, who say like that is one of the worst things that can happen to you. Mm-hmm. Not always, but can be virality, going viral.
Yeah.
So a long times that slow, steady growth is community driven, really core with your audience.
Yeah, totally.
You're successful with YouTube.
It's been good. It's been good to me. Really, since you joined, it's been even better. More, I can only take myself so far. Having you edit has definitely taken it to the next level.
I appreciate that.
How did that happen? How did you guys connect?
She pretty much got a hold of me crying that I need help. She forced her way in when everybody else was asking and was like, I'm dying.
Please.
So you were doing all your editing yourself.
Oh yeah, also. All myself.
Why don't you tell them? So we talked about it, but without Chris there.
Yeah.
How did you find out that who I was? And you're like, oh, I maybe edited and kind of go in.
Oh, totally. I mean, well, when you get to a certain point with YouTube and with me, with my kids, I was like, I just, editing took me, like once I started really trying with editing and like taking all the courses and learning everything I could, it was taking me 12 hours to edit one video. And I was like, oh, this is, and doing that and then seeing the success from it and then knowing like, I'm going to have to keep this up. It got to be too much. So I started looking for editors and tried a few and it just wasn't quite working. So initially I just reached out to Riff as like, can you just give me editing advice?
Because you found me through Caleb?
Yeah, correct? Caleb.
Phoenix Resale.
I knew that Caleb used you and I liked Caleb's videos long before I even knew Caleb and knew you. I just would text my husband like a link to Caleb's video and be like, I like the way this is edited. And little did I know, it was fortuitous.
Yeah.
But yeah, then it was just really good timing. I was bugging you about how to teach me some things with editing. We got on a Zoom call and chatted, and you were like, I might. I saw the door open, and I shoved my foot in.
It started with more of me being like, I'll help you.
Yeah.
Teach you how to edit.
Yeah.
And slowly, just she would pretend to be more and more despair each time. And I was like, whatever.
And so you're a busy guy. Like when somebody reached out to you, like you were just inclined to help.
You must
get that a lot, I would think.
I do. Yeah, she was the last of my, like, availability spots. So since her, basically, I have three, like, main people I edit for. And I've dabbled in, like, adding a person or so here and there. And I'll be honest, I've had to kind of, like, drop them. It just didn't work. I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep it up. So basically, like, my main forte is now Rick, Caleb, and you. So it's
wow, so you made the cut.
I can't even believe my luck. Yeah.
Just it's, waxing, bro. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I do try to be like, I know you're busy.
Yeah.
I don't have timelines. You know, I'm like, Riff, whenever you can get to it. And even if like, I try to be a very easy client for you so that it's not
too
bad.
You're no Caleb.
Hopefully none of us are. Just kidding.
Oh! I love you, Caleb.
Just kidding.
That's a YouTube short. That's a YouTube short. That's a YouTube short for sure.
Okay. So I guess like since you're starting your YouTube channel, guess what was like the evolution of your channel? Like how has it changed since you started?
Yeah, so I would just start, I was way too shy to like film in public. Mm. Oh my God.
I remember watching your videos and I like would say something to you off, you know, before I was editing film, you're like, I hate having a GoPro. I hate filming.
She still does. She was today. Oh, yeah. She did the same thing.
Film, guys. Like, get mad.
Riff's like,
even you at your store.
I was like, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. By all means. It's nice that you ask.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't want to be that influencer who's like annoying.
There's nothing worse than like the door busting open, like selfie mode. Here, what's up, everybody? It's me, Ashley. I'm here at the store. It's like,
relax, bro. Doing like a yoga pose at like some.
Oh, yeah. That's what Ricky does with most
monument. Yeah. Just for the Instagram clicks, no. So I try to be respectful, but it is like a huge beacon of I'm filming, and it can be a little uncomfortable, but no one's ever said anything. But yeah, the evolution of my channel, I used to just talk about here's what sold, here's what I found, and just show, and I would just talk about it in my office. And that was doing well. I mean, it did fine. I was thrilled to make 11 cents a day on YouTube. Like, I told my kids, like, I hit 11 cents. That's awesome. You know, it's a very slow growth. And then eventually a couple bucks. I'm rich. We can go to McDonald's, teach. You can get an ice cream. And then it just starts to pick up and you're like, wow, this is $1,000 a month. And then it just, now it's beyond my wildest dreams. But yeah, like it then I started to realize, like, if I'm going to go all in with YouTube, I need to try, and I got to film and tell a story, because that's what people want to see. So once I started doing that, getting Lost Cargo, getting unboxing video. That with TJ, things started. I had one video that did do really well. And so then things started to just take off from there.
What was Lost Cargo?
So there's an auction house in my city that's like by the airport where they have like lost luggage, and they take it, parcel it out, and auction it off to the highest bidder.
I've always wanted
and
to
so
do that.
It's so fun. I mean, it's gone crazy. So there's I was going to it without filming and without even talking about it because it was so good. It was like, oh my gosh, I don't want this secret out. But then, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
Two huge YouTubers, Hope Scope and Diesel Dave, I don't know if you guys, with millions of subscribers,
totally.
Went there, shared it, and then the secret kind of got
cover's
out.
Blown, film
the cover's
time.
Blown. So I'm going to film the crap out of this. Yeah. Like, if everyone knows anyway, I'll just film and share and basically like copy their model of how their videos That's did YouTube. Well and go. And so I did that. So yeah, and TJ, my husband, joined me for unboxing, and people loved him because he's really funny.
He's
and I had one palette that was particularly amazing. And so yeah, so those videos I tried to mix in.
I am so intrigued by that. I never thought about the lost cargo of all the stuff, the luggage that gets lost. So they pallet it, and then you would buy it, and it's yours.
It's yours all as is. So you kind of, there can be shoes, and you bid online. It used to be in person, but it then became online. And I know the guys, I know the owners, I've talked to them, and they're really sweet. But yeah, they it's huge. It's massive, like this airplane hangar
full
of Gaylords.
That's such like a fun thing too, like, right? You feel like in YouTube there's a thing called buckets in YouTube, which is like your videos that you do that are like swap meets. Like swap meets can be a bucket. Like I thrifted blank, I thrifted blank, anything, I reviewed every blank. But like Lost Cargo is such a cool one to me, like buying Lost Cargo from this, from that, from that.
Yeah,
I think that's such a cool like video idea in general, Lost Cargo. I could see why that has so much virality.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super intrigued by that. Because obviously we know all about storage wars and storage units, but that's just such a unique one. So do you still that?
So I think the last one I did was not from that place, but we did a shoe. I bought a big thing of Amazon shoe returns. I guess that doesn't count. It was like 9 months ago. I haven't done that place because the prices went crazy.
It went crazy,
and people were bidding things way up that shouldn't have been, and I was just losing money. So it was fun. And then the videos themselves, I think people kind of got tired of that exact model, so it was fun. And they still did pretty well, but like I was like, well, if I'm losing money and they take a forever to film, and they I'm sure take forever to edit.
They did.
So
those are a bit of ones. I remember being on a run talking to you guys. I'm like, I'm just letting you know, Ashley, this one's taking me a long time.
And just curious, like that first pallet of lost luggage that you bought, like what is a price of lost luggage? Like how much was that one?
Okay, yeah. So it's like a full Gaylord, right? So like the big, what is that, 5x5x5? And you take the, I know.
We are only 2 years old. I am sorry, that's really, I are two.
That, that's wide open to make
Riff,
comments.
As soon as Riff turned, I looked
like a child in class. Like,
I mean, I didn't know what it was either, but I just went over that.
Can you explain what a Gaylord is, besides Curtis?
In the liquidation world, that's a well-known term, but it's okay.
Got it.
So I'll pause, go ahead, and make fun of it.
Be your two-year-old and then go on.
Yeah, no,
it's okay.
It's the dumbest name. Why?
What is it? So what is it, actually?
It's a 5x5x5 giant cardboard box filled with
Got it.
Oh, okay, like they use that with clothes and stuff like that.
So you take, you go to the...
I didn't know it was called a Gaylord.
Yeah.
I'm going to start using that.
I'm so sorry you're on our podcast.
It's totally fine. It's totally
okay.
It's a really stupid name for something. So,
and what's typically in there? Like, what was your question, right?
Well, the question was, what was the price?
Yeah. So, excuse me. They'll show the top in pictures. So they'll like take pictures of the top of the auction house, and then you have to kind of guess. Okay, I think I see Alexander Wang, or I think I see Nike shoes, or, and they're usually grouped by clothing. Mm. Miscellaneous. They've done Peloton bikes. What else have they done? They've done regular bikes, car tires. They do anything you can think of under the sun. It could be anything.
So it's sorted though.
It's sorted. It, yeah.
I was picturing like luggage bags, like
oh,
on a pallet.
No, no, no. Yeah.
Like no, it's no, sorted.
It's all
they
sorted.
Open the stuff up and
Oh, sorry.
That's what I thought. I thought it was like, oh, I'm going to open up this person's luggage.
I was thinking something totally different. I was like, there's just going to be a bunch of gaylords everywhere.
Dude, all I kept thinking was our luggage just kept getting lost. I'm like, dude, if ours get lost, that's probably what she's going to buy them all.
That's what that question, I thought it was luggage, and you're like, oh, we're going to open up, oh, this was Mary Jane's luggage bag. Yeah. And there's like all their stuff.
Nothing but undies.
Could you imagine?
Okay, so it's sorted. All right, so you can see shoes and stuff like
that. So it's like they sort it all out, and it's just a giant pile of clothes. Like, it'll just all be filled to the brim with clothes, and then I wheel it out with a pallet jack, take it to my car, and just load it in by handfuls. And then I just kind of look through. And so the one that with a video that did really well, I think it was like, it had to be some kind of K-pop star or somebody, because all of these like really trendy design, like Louis Vuitton, and it was only $800. And it was filled with, I had one jacket in that palette sold for $1,900.
Wow.
And it was crazy. So yeah, I even found like a Disney ticket in one of the pockets, and it was like,
oh,
someone's cool name. And I'm like, so this was, sorry, I'm going to go ahead and sell all
of
this.
Do you feel like the reseller community was accepting to you when you came into YouTube? Like when you came in, was there any backlash, or were people like, I know just YouTube's a weird space to be in. And I know, and there's different communities within YouTube that are like, you know, it could be anything, camera collecting or whatever, people who knit or wine tasting. And some people say their communities are not super accepting of new people, or they get weird of different faces.
Yeah.
Everyone was cool with you.
Oh yeah, okay. It was really welcoming.
That's awesome.
I kind of stay out of drama, so there was no drama really. I'm a mom who talks about the crap I sell on eBay.
And what would what would you say like the community is that mostly is your demographic? Like obviously we're resellers of video games, so our community is video games and collectibles. Like what would you say yours is? Do you know?
Just a lot. There's a lot of stay-at-home moms. A lot of women who like to go thrifting and then sell it on Poshmark, sell it on eBay, Mercari. So I think that's kind of my little niche.
Do you have an age range on your YouTube analytics?
What? It's extremely split. Like it's almost a third 18 to 25 and then a third, or maybe that's a little bit less, but like it's very even between all age groups, which is kind of crazy. But it is like 75% women.
So it's mostly women. Okay.
What's the 25 to what? What's the bracket in YouTube they give you?
25 to 35. Yeah, I think 25 to 35.
Ours is like 100% that.
Really? Okay.
And like my Instagram insights and stuff like that is 25 to 35.
I think we have like literally like 0.2% women.
Okay.
You were probably looking.
I think I have like 3% on my.
Not even that for us.
Yeah, 3%.
I'm such a good guess.
No. Trust me, you are.
But yeah.
I don't know. As a guy, that's why I'm like, I'm always looking for different outlets to buy and sell. I'm like, wait a second, this luggage cargo thing, I kind of want to look into that.
They did start shipping, so that auction house does ship now. But it, you know, it's like $400 to get it.
Yep. Did they give you like a rule, like how long they wait until they ship off somebody's stuff as lost cargo?
No, I don't know. I don't know where they get it. Literally. I'm not sure how.
Snooze, you lose.
What I was trying to say earlier was imagine like somebody coming home from an expo that packs their entire bag and
Retro Rick.
That's what I'm saying. They just that's insane. A boatload of
Retro Rick and Caleb. The way they do it is they just ship, you know, giant luggage filled to the brim with like mega rare stuff, and I'm just like, imagine if that was in there.
Yeah. And it all gets sorted out and sold to me.
Yeah.
That's how it works. And then I
would love
share
if you
it on
opened
his
it and it was like Phoenix Resales and you just taunted him, you're like, double up on everything.
Amazing.
I will sell it back to you for double.
So, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Hey Rick, you had a question, right?
What?
No. Anyway, I tried to get him to get him a question to give him a little toss up.
We're always trying to get Ricky to talk, but he doesn't love to talk.
Yeah. Anyway,
all good.
Do you want to ask it? I'll ask it.
You can ask.
Okay. There's a question I said. Like, what do you is like your biggest enjoyment from like being on YouTube?
YouTube is hard. Like, I love it, but I get very I get in my head about it and I overthink it. But YouTube connecting with people has been really cool. When people leave messages saying that like they made their first $1,000 on eBay from my videos helped them, that means the world. Because I think, you know, $1,000 a month can change someone's life.
Huge.
Huge.
I mean, not here in California. But anywhere else, that could be rent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's and especially, you know, I think especially moms, we tend to feel like, what do we do our kids need us at very, you know, multiple times of the day. Yeah. It's hard to think just going back to like some kind of in-office place. So I like the flexibility. YouTube is great for that. Like I can just share my little journey and share with people, hey, if you have kids at home, you can totally do this and totally make money. And it's fun. And if I can teach you something, that's great.
I think your YouTube channel name is a great name, almost like an inspiring name for moms. You got to hustle at home mom. Like you are a mom,
yeah,
but you're hustling. You're not just a mom. You're making money. It's awesome.
Majority of women are just always hustling.
Yep.
Well, yes. Yeah. Moms, especially. Shout out to the mothers out there.
Are all hustling.
For my mom.
Especially Curtis's mom.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? My mom actually works with me, and like she's literally been like a duty aide. She's done like, she's just like kind of followed me. A duty aide.
What's a duty aide?
Somebody that's like at a school that like takes care of kids and like actually like monitors them like at lunch and stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. She basically, like, she was at my school. She would just, like, just kind of follow up, like, with me.
I was mom right there.
Oh, mama's boy all the way.
She raised a good one, Curtis. Oh.
Thanks, Curtis.
Don't talk about your brother.
And I guess other than the enjoyment, is there difficulties with also running the channel?
Yeah, well,
what's the biggest difficulty?
First, just to say, I never liked the term stay-at-home mom. Well, once I became a mom, because I'm like, I'm not staying anywhere. This is the hardest thing I've ever done. So I like that, like, you guys share that every mom is a hustler. Like, just because I do things doesn't mean I'm working hard or any different than any mom.
My wife is technically Chanel. A stay-at-home mom. She is constantly busy taking care of the kids, doing everything that I know I don't want to do. Like, it takes a village.
Oh, it's so hard. You want to be there for them emotionally. You want to get them to their games. You want to like support them, teach them. It's a lot of pressure. So So
what's your biggest struggle?
Throwing that out there.
And what's your biggest struggle in YouTube? Keeping the YouTube channel alive. What's the hardest part to keep you going?
I don't know. I want everyone to be happy with my videos. So if I don't have like an idea that I think is good enough, I get in my head about it. Or I don't know, like, I should not look at analytics after I put a video out, because it makes me, if it doesn't do as well, I'm like, what did I do wrong? So I'm competitive, and so I want to see my channel grow, and it is growing, but like, I'm very hard on myself and kind of a perfectionist with like, I didn't do the title right, I didn't do the thumbnail right, my idea wasn't good, I kind of get doom and gloom, like, does this mean my channel is falling off the face of the earth? Is everyone not interested in reselling? I don't have a wide enough net that I'm casting, and I think that
spiral.
Yeah. So that's really
every YouTuber struggles the minute you see that 9 out of 10. So for those who don't know, when you put out a YouTube video, it'll tell you where it ranks in your last 1 out of 10 videos.
Yeah.
And every YouTuber, when they see like a 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10, never talk to them that day.
No, they're just like,
I hate my channel, I'm over it. probably delete it tomorrow. And then you get a text 2 weeks later, number 1 out of 10.
Right.
This is I'm viral. It's like this, dude, your emotion.
And it like doesn't even matter. Like I've had so many videos 8 out of 10 for like a week, and then they just jump. Like they just have this longevity. You never know. So, and 1 out of 10 videos that just tank. It's so dumb.
Oh, I've had so many 1 out of 10s. It starts off hot and you're like, this is it. This is going to go nuts. Yeah. And then it hits that mark where you normally hit, and the rest straight down.
Just nothing. It doesn't take off.
So like I said, you guys are in a niche where it's like residual views will always happen. So just put your content out into the ether and let just people enjoy it.
That is the greatest.
That's good advice.
Advice right there. Really. Just put out what you love to do and let it out into the ether, and if people like it, they like
it. Yeah, exactly.
One other question. I just wondered, when was the last time you sold a video game? When are you completely out of that?
I bought a brand new sealed, what was it? Super Smash Bros. For Wii U.
Okay.
At a yard sale. It sold for like $30.
Oh, yeah. How long ago was that?
Like a month ago.
Oh, so you still pick them up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, if I see video games, I'll totally grab them. I'll be like, I know that's worth money. And at the bins one time, the Goodwill bins, I saw like a Harry Potter Goblet of Fire GameCube game cartridge. Or no, sorry, the case. I opened it up and it was Zelda Twilight Princess.
Nice. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it was Twilight Princess for the GameCube, which is a great one. So I was like, I knew at that moment, because I had all that experience. Like I had gone back when I was doing video games, I like would go on Facebook Marketplace all the time, had all the alerts. And I remember picking up a GameCube plus like 5 of the games like Mario Kart and Zelda, Wind Waker and Twilight Princess and all the others. And it was like $50 for the bundle. And I sold all of that on Amazon. And so, back when I was way in that, I was totally
nice. That's what we do here on this show. Nice.
I know what he's fishing for. He's like, when's the last time you bought a game? Oh, today at your store.
Today at your store.
He was looking for promotion.
Just looking for a drop.
He did. And it was my kids. Honestly, my kids love your store.
Oh, thank
you. If you guys are in the area, Connecticut here.
Connecticut, yeah, too here.
It is so fun.
I'm charging Chris for this minute. Next topic.
And by the way, go to... No,
SoCal, yes. Yes, go to SoCal.
That was awesome. All right, we're going to go on our next one. It's going to be a lot more fun stuff. It's going to be ranking 1990s Christmas movies.
Not only 1990s, though.
What?
Christmas movies in general, bro. We got you guys a list of all lists.
You got me at the 90s, though.
So, it's Christmas time. It's time to be nice to the people you can't stand all year. Sorry, old Blink-182 song.
We're going to leave a lot of faith to Ben back there. We're in a new system, so.
Yes, our hands for Ben.
Yeah, yeah.
Bento.
So we have a new system. We're all in 4K now. But what happened is we have to run it through like a different program, so it's kind of hard to do the ranking thing. So Ben's going to do his best. Ben, click on any Christmas movie back there, and we will talk about it. We're going to rank it. And anybody who doesn't know, S is the best, F is the worst.
Okay.
Ooh, Santa Claus with Tim Allen. We are going to let our guests go first.
Oh, thank you.
But tell us about Santa Claus. Where do you rank it?
Oh, I got to say, my brother and I, I have a younger brother, Dan. He's a dentist in South Carolina. He's one of my best friends. And he and I grew up watching movies, these kinds of movies together. And so we quote Santa Claus all the time when... It's the dumbest quote, but when he's like, plain milk is fine.
Oh, I love
they don't have chocolate.
I love
So whenever we're disappointed, plain milk is fine.
That's great.
This has to be, I think, A. Okay. I don't think it's, the elves are kind of annoying. The elves with attitude is a little cringe.
What's the guy's name? Bernard. Bernard
is cool. Bernard's cool. I like Bernard.
He's got some wild hair.
The elves with attitude part, I always kind of, embarrassment goosebumps with that one. So I'll put A though, okay. But it's awesome.
Okay,
it's awesome.
Because there might be, so you gotta, don't throw out too many S's because then your S's don't become as important.
Right, I gotta reserve
those. You're doing
good.
Christopher.
Yeah. I kind of like a new rule where we only get one S.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I like that.
I've been thinking about that.
Like, but we don't know what's coming.
I know, but then you either
roll the dice. Well, that'll have to be future episodes, okay?
Yeah, maybe future.
Okay, Chris, change everything.
I like this one. It's not one of my favorites. It's great. It's a good movie. I feel like there's betters on this list. I don't know what's on there, so I'm just going to put it at a B.
Okay.
Nice.
I love it. Nice. I think I'm going to go B as well. I do love the movie. Tim Allen is one of my go-to guys just for comedy and laughter. Some people don't necessarily like his humor, I've heard, but I love his Tim Allen being Tim Allen at all costs. So solid B for me.
Nice. Ricky? The Toolman Taylor? B, bro. Well, as a Santa, I do love the movie. Watch it every year, but...
Me too.
It's a B if I have to compare it to the other movies.
Yeah.
Solid B.
Okay.
B.
Let's go.
B.
All right. So it lands at a solid B.
It's a B.
Yeah. That's good.
I think that's totally fair.
All right, Ben, you are the king of the castle, bro. Whatever you throw up there, we're going to do. Oh, boy. Uh-oh. He's getting dicey. Christmas Vacation. Let's go.
Chris, you want to start this one off?
Man, I haven't seen this one in a long time.
What? You're a horror guy. You need to step out on this one.
I know. I have select
Are Christmas these horror movies that I really like. How many people die in these?
This isn't Krampus.
Oh my gosh, I love
Krampus. Does Satan make an appearance in this movie?
I hope Krampus is on this list.
I'm sorry.
This is not a loving Christmas.
It's one of my favorite Christmas movies. I've been a long time since I've seen it. I do love Chevy Chase. I'm going to put this one as a B as well.
Okay. I'll jump in. Solid A. I super love Christmas Vacation. The comedy in this is just enough slapstick to where I want it to be. It's not over the top slapstick. It's not a little too chill with it. And I'll be honest, I'm not a big National Lampoon's guy. I know a lot of people aren't like that. I'm not a huge National Lampoon guy, but I love this one. Such good character.
I saw the classic. I saw the car on the freeway where the grandma's like wrapped up. It's like the prop car for it, and I was like, dude, that's
oh, the prop.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And no, it wasn't the grandma wrapped up on it, but it was like dude. No, but I was like watching. I was like, is that National Lampoon? It was like the exact replica of the car where they have the grandma tied to the top. So I was like, dude, that's it just brings you back to it.
Ready for a weird fact too? I love the way he looks in hats in this movie, Chevy Chase. That's a weird thing to say, isn't it? Okay. But every time I watch the movie, I think, man, he looks good in hats in this movie. It's weird. Sorry, guys. Just, it's a thing.
I'll go with B. B? Yeah, Ricky, how about you?
Who, me? Oh, I'm a B on this one, too. It's great. I laugh hysterically. Like, it's so good. But I feel like it's more adult.
It is a little more adult.
Cousin Eddie. I watched this as a kid.
I love Cousin Eddie.
Oh, it's so good.
I love Cousin Eddie. He just reminds me of Curtis.
Dude, stop.
Ashley?
I don't care. Trash it.
We're all for trashing a movie.
I don't care for it. I just didn't. It doesn't. I don't know. It just Chevy Chase doesn't really hit my funny bone.
Got it.
He's and I have heard he's also not a nice guy in real life. That also affects my. I don't know. It shouldn't, but it kind of does. So I don't know. I only just recently watched it like a few years ago for the first time. So I had never seen it, and I just
you have no nostalgia for it. Yeah.
No nostalgia for it. Yeah. So D. I just didn't really care for it. I wouldn't really see it again. So yeah, I'd say D.
That's a D. That's all right.
That probably put so it down to C. Yeah.
That's probably the first time we're doing this right. He's like dragging it as we talk. Yeah, he's kind of like leveling it where it needs to go. Thank you, Ben. All right, Ben, hit us up with the next one, bro. Save one of the good ones for now. Do whatever you want, bro. Ready? Here we go. Here it comes. Uh-oh, I'm nervous. Oh, this was an Ashley pick. We talked about this before.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're going to have to talk about this one.
This is S tier. Sorry. S. It's so beautiful. Sorry. Oh, no. It's the best. Oh, it's so heartwarming, and it's so hopeful, and it's just such a great message. I can never see this movie too many times. I just think it's a beautiful message, and it's great. It's iconic.
I will say A for me. Okay. It's I did what I've always wanted to do. So there's a theater. Oh, I showed it to you when you were out with my wife and I.
Yeah.
That downtown theater that's like an old theater on an island.
Yeah.
They show old movies. And I got to watch this a few years ago there during Christmas time. Oh. Vintage theater.
Yeah.
I got teary eyed. It's just such a good message. I feel like it's kind of what you want in a Christmas movie. You want to walk away and be like, wow, I feel warm and fuzzy beyond all levels. Yeah, so solid A for me.
Totally, totally.
I wasn't expecting this one to be on the list. I mean, I haven't seen this in a while. This is such a good movie. It's such a wholesome, like you said, wholesome, just classic Christmas movie. I couldn't give it any less than an A, I feel like.
Yeah.
But I still feel like there's better ones for the S for me, but A for me.
Listen, we all know we're all waiting for Home Alone, okay? Let's just be, I'm sure all of us are just waiting for Home Alone.
So. I'll give it an A. Okay. What a great movie.
I legit can't remember this movie.
Wow. Yeah.
I watched it, but I really can't remember because, dude, I have kids. No, they don't want. I'm like, let's watch this. They're like, no, let's watch
something
else.
My
kids loved it.
I see, Ricky.
That's your homework to go watch.
That's why I don't
want
to grade it. I feel bad if I'm like,
yeah. I've never seen it, so.
It's from the 60s, right? 60s.
Ooh, maybe right? Earlier.
I think it was maybe 50s? Might be 40s.
40s?
I think it might be 40s.
I'm going to say even a little earlier. I'm going to look right now where it's from.
We know.
I don't know. I could be.
Maybe
wrong.
It's 50.
Curtis, you're like up.
End of 50s, huh? Maybe?
You're up.
Oh, I said I've never seen it, so.
Curtis is 12, don't forget. So, ready?
So that puts it at a solid A.
58. Yeah. 58.
Everybody throw out your guess what year.
Was it
1958.
Was it take a solid guess.
Let me buy the cover. 45?
47.
46.
Wow.
1940.
What a great movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to go watch this thing.
And that it's last the test of time. I mean, it's still a classic after all these years. It is. I think that speaks volumes, you know?
Yeah.
All right, Ben, we're going to the next one.
Surprise us, baby. Hit me, baby, one more time. We got Muppets Christmas Carol. I'm going to start. Solid A. I love a Muppets Christmas Carol. So obviously, if you watch Christmas movies or ever, there's a bazillion Christmas carols. There's some of the amazing ones. This is one of my favorite. Why are you laughing?
He's making me laugh.
We're laughing. I'm just laughing because it's
Curtis, we have souls on this podcast. We like these old movies, all right? I love Muppets Christmas Carol. Solid A. Beautiful movie. One of my favorite Christmas. It's my favorite Christmas Carol version.
Yeah.
Ashley, I'm going to go to you because these guys don't take my life seriously.
You're inching right up my blacklist.
She told me in the parking lot she didn't like you.
I mean, this is just it's rough right now. No. This is an A. I do think this could be, it's argued that this is the best iteration of a Christmas Carol, which I also like to read every year. I love the story. I love Dickens. So yeah, this is an A. A really wonderful adaptation.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Chris?
I have not seen this since like I was probably a little kid. Who plays Scrooge? I don't even know.
I forget his name.
It's Michael Caine.
Michael Caine. That's Michael right. Caine,
but which yeah. character?
He's not a Muppet. He's not, it's a real character.
Oh, it's life. The real.
But the rest are all the Muppets.
The rest are Muppets. Yeah.
So I would feel bad rating this one because it's just been so long.
And don't do it. Don't.
I'm not going to. Okay. I won't.
Oh, well, that looks like that's everybody in the room. Looks like it's a salt. No. All right. What's your guys' rating?
C.
C?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was saying C because he's Mexican.
No.
I literally thought, I'm like, what's your rating? He's like, C.
C.
I was like, no, your rating, bro. I'm so sorry. C?
Yeah, I liked it, but it's not my favorite, like, Carol
and Sarah. It's not something that I'd seek for Christmas, so I'm going to say C as well, so...
We're not asking Ashley. It's all good. We have a heart.
We have hearts.
Hey, Miss Piggy.
That's a B.
Hey, Miss Piggy.
Who's that supposed to be?
Huh? It's Kermit.
That's Kermit.
That was definitely far from Kermit.
No, it was not.
Kermit's more like
Miss Piggy. That sounded like
Miss Piggy.
Yeah, right.
Kermit. All right, Ben. Surprise us with the next baby doll. What we got? Let's hope it's a good one. Oh no, I already see which one this is. This is so many people love this movie and so many people hate this movie. So we're gonna start with Ricky. Because Ricky's been nailing the Christmas movies tonight. What do you got, Ricky?
It's a B for me. I like it a lot, but it's not one of my favorites.
Oh, Polar Express. Hey, thanks,
Ben.
Ben watching out for the audio listeners. Thanks, Ben. Yeah. I appreciate you.
It's great. I think I'd like it more if I did that Grand Canyon thing, though. Because I feel like a lot of people that did that Grand Canyon, there's like a Grand Canyon tour.
I did it.
Where there's a Polar Express. You can take the train. And they come back. They're like, favorite movie. I'm like... I think I need to do that in order for me to put this thing at an A, but for right now,
it's a B.
I did it with
my kids. I want to do that
thing. Yeah,
that
sounds cool.
I'm telling you guys, I did it with my kids when they were like at that age, like, you know, 6, 5, and 4 or 3.
Magical.
And it was like magical. I mean, you're on a train. They reenact the movie. They have the scenes, the hot chocolates, the scene that Santa's out there. And it was like super amazing. I'm going to say A. I really like this movie. The CGI has been known to be kind of subpar and not age well, but I liked it. There's some derpy moments if you like pause it and you see the CGI is weird and their eyes are like twisted the wrong way. There's some glitch effects that have gone wrong. Yeah. But I love the movie. And again, like you said, doing the Polar Express trip with my kids like cemented in like a moment. And I like Josh Groban's music on it.
Oh.
I don't know who
I'm going to keep staring at you guys. I was about to sing it. Like, dude, I am so far off from sounding like
song.
Josh Groban. It's not even going to happen. What about you, Chris?
Let me guess. I haven't seen this one. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen this one in years.
I think I'm just watching horror movies.
Yeah, bro, you got to stop after Halloween, bro. Start working your way.
No, I do have some favorite Christmas movies. This one I have not seen in a long time.
Yeah.
From what I remember of it, it's a C. It was nothing...
Got it.
Crazy for
didn't
me.
Do
for yeah, I'm going to give it a
It's no Christmas, Jason.
Correct. Christmas,
Jason. Jason goes to the North Pole. Ashley?
I really don't like this movie.
Okay.
This is an E.
I really can't watch it.
It's only because of the uncanny valley with the CGI. I hate this. I can't even.
It is funky.
I hate it so much. I don't know what it does. It gives me the creeps. So yeah, I think personally that's so, it's so biased for me because I just can't. I'm sure.
You can be biased.
I love the book. The book is a classic. And
there's
I love
reading.
It's based on a book.
People read.
Chris Van Allsburg. Okay.
They make books?
It's a picture book.
They're still making those?
Yeah. So the book is classic. It's a children's book.
Okay.
But yeah, the no, absolutely not.
All
absolutely
right, that landed. Not. It looks like right now Polar Express is holding on at the bottom spot with Wonderful Life. All right.
Wait, did Curtis say?
Curtis?
I'll just be at a B. Solid.
Okay. Sorry, Curtis, I forgot you. Yeah. I really apologize, man. I think I gave it a better rating than them. Dang it. All right. Surprise us. Here he goes. Oh, I know.
Oh,
I know Ricky's.
Suspense.
Ricky better luck this one because I know his children. He double tapped. You can delete one. Ricky, Charlie Brown Christmas. I'm curious what yours is because I know your family is a Snoopy loving family.
If it's my kids, they would put this at an S. But me, I think I've watched this so many times that I'm going to keep it at a B. I love it, but I can't watch it over and over. And I used to really love it. Like I would probably put it in A, but my kids. But great movie. You have to watch it. You have to watch it every Christmas, no matter
Curtis?
What.
Yeah, solid A. I like it.
Solid A.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Ashley?
Charlie Brown.
I think a B. I think it's great, but it's it's good. I'll watch it with my kids, but I'm not like, oh, I have to watch Charlie Brown.
It's messed up, bro.
Yeah, sorry.
Chris? Nice. B? Yeah, nice.
Have you seen this
one? Oh, yeah. Son of a gun.
I'm not going to lie. All these movies we've shown, except for A Wonderful Life, most of these are ones I have not watched in years.
Wow.
But the Christmas movies, which I hope are on this list coming up.
There's but not the, Die Hard, Chris. Sorry.
Die Hard, Gremlins.
There was too much like controversy of people. It never is solved, so I didn't put Die Hard. Or go ahead, get it out. What's Die Hard? Go, hurry up.
That's an A.
Okay, Gremlins. What's Gremlins?
Is F.
Okay, there we go. Shut up. Now, let me shout out to all my believers out there. I'm going to go S because it's the only movie I know that still to this day tells the real meaning of Christmas. Yes, happy, joy, family. Yes, love, all that. But I'm talking about the birth of my savior. So I'm going S.
Oh, I 100%. Like that. That was great. Okay.
I went to Knott's Berry Farm recently and they like did the whole thing.
The ice thing, right?
Yeah, I was like shocked. Awesome. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm surprised like people weren't rioting. They were like reading and the real mini crit. And I was like, good. Let's go, Charlie Brown. I love you. Like, they know my people. So yeah, absolutely. For me, it's an S. But I truly love it. Aside from that,
great.
I love like old animation Christmas stuff, like the super old, like, they're not trying to get you with humor. It's just they're okay with it being quiet for a while.
Yeah.
They'll walk and nothing's happening. They're just walking.
It's just a timeless like cartoon.
Timeless.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, what we got next? Die Hard. Did I make all you feel bad? Christmas movie. Oh, speaking of the timelesses, right there. So we put all three of them there. This is the Frosty the Snowman, Santa Claus, and Rudolph. Basically the claymation originals. I'm gonna go straight to Chris, who probably hasn't seen them.
Man, no, honestly, actually, I watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer every single year. This is one of my favorites. I absolutely love the claymation. I'm just a big fan of claymation in general. I've always loved it. But this one in particular is one of my favorites. So this is an S tier for me. I absolutely.
We broke him, people.
Yeah. It's one of my all-time favorites. The other ones, let me think. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I haven't seen that one in a while. Frosty's good, too. But Frosty's Rudolph, great. To me, is the best one. Yeah. What is the snow abominable snowman, they call it?
Abominable snowman, yeah.
I thought he has a different name, too.
No, and then Yukon Cornelius is the guy.
I love that
Yukon Cornelius!
I love that guy. Island of Misfits is awesome.
The Island of Misfits.
Wasn't he called the Bumble? Isn't that
yes, the Bumble.
Bumble.
And then also there's in the Burl Ives, seeing Frosty the Snowman and stuff.
It's Burl Ives.
It's so good.
It is so good. So this is an S.
I'm going to jump in with you because I'm already here. Yeah, S for me. It's a timeless. I'm a huge timeless guy. I'm emotional in every Christmas movie, so I love the old ones. Hardcore S for me. The claymation. What
and when did
art.
This come out? I don't even know. Was this 70s, 80s?
I'll look that
80s.
Up.
Yeah. Maybe early 80s.
Yeah.
And they were TV specials.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what they were made for. Like,
really?
I think ABC TV specials.
Because they're really short. When I watch it, I'm like, well, that was like half an hour and it's over.
True,
yes. Pretty
true
short.
True underdog story by Rudolph. That's what I loved about it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Rudolph made the way. All right, you go ahead and rate it. I'm going to look up when this is from.
Uh-oh.
Who knew she was going to be the most brutal?
I'm so sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay. Mike Christmas. It's been a really long time since I've watched them because maybe when my kids were really little, it's not one that we go to all the time. But they're cute, and I appreciate them for what they represent in the culture of Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Culture of Christmas.
I don't know what. I'm gonna pull a Chris here. I don't know that I can really rate it because I haven't really watched them a ton. Maybe in passing with my kids, I didn't really grow up with them.
Okay.
So
pull a Chris. That's a new one.
I'll pull Chris.
What is that, like pleading
it.
The fifth? I'm not talking.
I'll say that.
By the way,
that's not fair.
1964, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Really? Wow. Okay.
That's from the 60s.
Even more respect then.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I did not realize.
It's also crazy. The year the Beatles came to America. Another fact. I don't know why. Ricky, what you got?
I only watch Rudolph, truth be told. The other ones I don't really watch, but Rudolph is so good.
You really didn't watch Frosty, huh?
I would watch Frosty, but I'm not like Rudolph. I have to watch every year. Frosty, I can skip.
The reindeer droplets.
So good.
So
the Curtis? Reindeer poop.
A.
I'm an A.
A. What's it like not to be able to relish in our love of this?
I'm so sorry.
Well, that's just like what? Between an A and an S, like perfectly.
Ben's on it.
Yeah,
Ben. I thought she was going to say, is there something worse than an F?
Ben, is that the top dog right now?
Curtis, what'd you give it?
A.
A?
Don't put it past me.
I have an S.
I might.
Ben, is that the top dog right now?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. All right. Wow. Hit us, bro. Hit us with another. I know there's 10 total. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. These last three will go a little quicker.
Okay.
What do we got? Ben's going. He's going. The suspense gets me every
time. I know what he's going for.
I
don't even know what that is.
I can't tell what that one is either. We're not looking. Ooh, a Christmas story. Oh. We'll go Ashley. This is your redeem yourself.
I've watched this so many times. It's so classic. I quote it all the time. It's the best. This is like my It's Not Christmas Until We've Watched It.
So. Oh. 100%. I remember I edited one of your videos one time, and TJ, your husband, came out in like a onesie.
Yeah.
And I did the edit where the kid walking out with it. Ralphie. Ralphie. Yeah. Did you know that Ralphie in the movie is an elf, the movie?
Yes. He's one of the main elves. Beginning, right? Yeah. Yeah.
He's one of the main elves in it. So S.
Love it. So classic. Iconic. S tier.
Nice.
I'm going to go A for me. I'm almost right there with you. Oh, Chris. Well, relax. Yeah. We all know Home Alone's coming, right? A for me. Love them. It's one of the most iconic. And my son actually owns a replica of the same box, same everything, the Red Ryder.
No BB way.
Gun, yeah. Not like the one that bought at Walmart.
The lamp in that's the window. That's very
cool. Everybody has
one. Yeah.
Yeah, I have the broken glasses for sure.
Chris?
This is an S. I love this movie. I watch this every year. Absolutely love it. To me, it's might be my favorite Christmas movie of all of them. Yeah. I love the story, the message, the humor of it, Ralphie, everything about it. S. Solid.
Ricky? I'm going to say D. I'm just kidding.
Bring it down.
No, it's an A for me. It's so good. So good. Sorry.
I love it too.
I love it. I just love it.
Solid B for me. So,
solid B.
On to the next one.
I literally laugh when the kid gets his Chris tongue is stuck. Like,
keep this moving. Keep this podcast moving, boys. I triple double dug the area. All right, what do we got? Oh, this is definitely one of the big ones.
Santa! Wow. Santa!
You're up, Curtis.
Dude, this is my S. I will watch this over and over and over until like I get tired of it. Which is emotion. Never. Yeah. What? I'm telling you, I'm a huge Will Ferrell fan, and he just played this part perfectly for me. So
good.
Ricky?
Dude, S tier for me. Me and Nicole this is the one movie like we'll watch and we won't get up. We literally sit through it. Congratulations!
Oh, I put that in your video many times.
I'm singing.
I'm here.
It's so good.
It's great. For me, an A. Solid A. I remember watching it in theaters, actually, when it first came out. It's become A. And I think that's when like the internet fell in love with Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, that's true.
Not the internet, just the world at that time. I remember she became like the thing for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think that movie was one of the first pushes for that.
You go, Ashley.
Are you pulling a fifth?
No, I'm
just being a gentleman?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
We don't do that here. No, I'm just kidding.
I think A is good. Jon Favreau's amazing. Love Will Ferrell. Love Zooey Deschanel. I think James Caan.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's great.
I heard he was actually annoyed with Will Ferrell in the movie.
Really?
Like, I heard that was like a real thing. Like, he was actually annoyed. Oh,
okay. I think I have also heard, James Caan in real life is a little crotchety, but.
Yeah, maybe he's that good of an actor, though.
But he's a great actor. Yeah.
The new one. Like
hey, crotchety Chris, what's up?
Word of the day.
I'm looking at the screen. So we have Rudolph and then Christmas Story and then Elf right there.
I think Home Alone's with the last one.
As much as I like this movie, I do. I love it. It's good.
Look at me when you say it, though.
What's that?
Just look at me when you say it.
But I like it, but unfortunately, I can't have it up there with it, so I'm going to have to give it. It's average to me, a C.
You hate Christmas. You ruined Christmas for me.
Now, I will say, right now, I'm realizing we have one left, which, Ben, you can pull it up there, is Home Alone. And I realized that I didn't put...
I can't believe you. I already know what you didn't put in. You put the Grinch.
Oh, man.
Riff, you didn't put requested in, you didn't put a movie that you left off.
Yeah, I took that one off
for
real
your
quick.
0.2% of females out there.
Yeah, she put on like the holiday. And I was like, that sounds great. I'll put that on. And she hung up. I was like, that's not coming on.
How dare you?
I've never seen that the holiday.
Well,
don't worry, no one else has either. Bro.
That would have been a Z tier for me.
Oh my gosh. Ricky.
So Home Alone.
Well, ask Nicole.
She loves it.
Chanel.
She loves it.
Okay.
I walk away though when she starts watching.
Do you like Four Christmases too?
I haven't ever seen
it. I love Four Christmases.
Four Christmases is
really good.
Okay.
I love when he plays Joseph.
Dude, the British. That's so good.
We're on Home Alone. I'm just going to say it. So Jurassic Park and Home Alone always switch between my favorite movie of all time. Not just Christmas. S tier above everything by far. Ricky?
S. So good for S.
Super dude S. Yep.
I gotta go S.
Yep.
I love that's just
don't you ruin this. No, you want to ruin
well,
it?
Yeah.
You
no, can. No. S tier. I love my kids love it.
We got it. Every once in a while, we get like a quadruple where everyone says S. It's not always
not many.
It very only rarely, very do rarely hit the quadruple.
But this
ones.
Is this is so classic.
Can I do an honorable mention?
Yes, Ricky, you can. Santa you know what it is? In the Hood.
Jingle All the Way. I love that movie so much.
Oh. Yeah, if we had all the time in the world to name every Christmas movie,
I know. Would, just like shut up and move on.
Prancer's pretty good. I like Prancer. Prancer's
Klaus, the new one. Netflix is really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, Chris was into that Black good. Christmas one. That, like,
Black
the
Christmas is good. It's a horror movie. That's good.
I haven't seen that.
So number one is Home Alone. Right at the bottom is Polar Express, but only National Lampoon's barely beat it, which is surprising. But Home Alone, top dog, fully all the way. So that was that. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go into our next one. It's going to be YouTube resellers are not true resellers.
Oh, so yeah, this was an interesting one. Ashley brought this up to me, and I when you said it, I was like, does that make sense? But as you said it, I understood what your dialogue was, and mm-hmm. that's you are somebody on the internet, right? You mm-hmm. have a following,
mm-hmm.
right? So do other resellers online. They have a following.
Yeah.
So I have seen it in plenty of comments from people going, that's not fair. That doesn't count. The way you resell, it's not realistic.
Yeah.
You portraying it to the internet isn't real because Sally Joe that has no following, people aren't looking for her eBay. People aren't doing this. They're not trying to necessarily, they're not able to use their fame or whatever you want to call it, you know, in any sense.
Yeah.
Or Sally Joe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Sally Joe.
Or they're just doing it for the views, like their number one goal or their priority is YouTube, so they're only doing it just to get views, whatever gets the view.
Got it.
And that means they're not really trying to resell and grow a reselling business. Yeah, that was my thought.
So explain, like, give me that meat of that conversation now when you brought it up, like, where did you want to kind of dive? Yeah. Are you defending it? Like, I don't really know. Or are you like, no, I am a real reseller?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think they have an interplay with YouTube and reselling. Like, I know that YouTube and wanting to keep up with the content definitely keeps me accountable for my reselling business, because like if I don't have cool stuff that I find and share, then my YouTube won't. They kind of like grow hand in hand. Like if I have a really good resale business, then YouTube tends to be more successful. But if I think it would be clear if I was faking it, and I don't know, I don't think my YouTube would be successful if my reselling business wasn't successful, and but also vice versa. YouTube has absolutely helped me. People buy from my store and it gets more eyes on my stuff. It makes me want to run a thriving business and not, I don't know. So I think they are interwoven. I will say though, that some of the biggest sellers I've ever met don't have any social media. Probably most of the biggest sellers I know don't have any social media. They don't have time for it, 'cause they're all in with their business. So for me though, as a part-time, I'm a mom. It's awesome because YouTube, like adding that to my business model has helped me have more income with the same amount of hours. So I think it just makes financial sense to have both working together as best they can. I don't know.
Do you think you ever like could put a number on like percentage of people that you think buy from you who are in fact, you know, because you're Hustle at Home Mom versus just, oh, hey, I found you and I like your stuff on the internet.
Right. So actually it's interesting because on eBay has an analytic that is the impression click-through rate, meaning like, so I get a lot of people that click on my store but don't buy anything. They just want to look. Because and that actually kind of hurts my store because my conversion rate's really low for like how much I'm converting based on how many are looking. So that's one side that's kind of not so great. But at the same side, on the other side, I do get people about, I would say 25% of my sales come from social media in some form.
Okay.
Whenever I post a video and I'm sharing things, I'll always get a few sales coming through from, oh, hey, I saw you. And they'll message me and I saw you on YouTube and I love your channel or whatever. And it's so nice. And I try to, you know, write them a little thank you or put a thank you sticker on and make sure that they know I'm really grateful. But yeah, I think, so I don't know. But I do think there are some people who only, well, maybe not in the reselling community, but just on YouTube in general, their only priority is to get a click. So I don't know.
Click through rate on your eBay is very similar to like YouTube. There's click through rate on YouTube. And if people don't know what that is, it's like me putting the most amazing thumbnail ever that isn't really what someone wants per se. And everybody clicks on it, but then they just bounce out right away.
And that
will hurt your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So if you get, you know, amazing views on something, it doesn't always mean that it's going to work out for you in the long run. YouTube sees like, wow, everybody watched that, but people weren't really interested
in the
content of it.
Exactly.
So I could see how that kind of would be frustrating for you. People going, hey, Hustle at Home Mom, I want to check out her eBay. And they go and they're like, no, I got
it. And they just want to see how I do things or how I, And then but it's fine. But hey, my business, I will say before YouTube really took off, I still applied the same principles to my business and it still turned out X amount of money for however many listings I had. So maybe it hasn't helped as much. I don't know, but I think it helps.
And you were, from when you told your story earlier, you were a reseller, then became a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Right? You weren't really a YouTuber, then became a reseller. No. Right?
Yeah. Okay. It definitely was the other way
around. So you kind of had the, I would say, like the basics of what it was to resell.
Yeah.
And the grind and all that.
I think reselling. So. Yeah. And I was really excited about the income and it is exciting to share with other people. I want people to know there are options. Because I grew up very poor. I hate that feeling of like wondering, when am I going to get a paycheck? Bills are due. That's the worst nightmare. And if anyone feels trapped, this really is a way. We can go to the swap meet and find stuff and flip it. Anyone can do it. And there's no shame in it. And if I can teach you a couple things that would help, just nothing makes me happier, really.
And it could be any market. I mean, I know Caleb is a huge believer in opportunity is everywhere. Yeah. And it sounds so dumb, but like there are people who can find plastic that is probably rare. People collect barbed wire. People collect spurs. People can collect weird parts to a camera that sell for a good money. I mean, there's all different avenues. I mean, Curtis is a big example that even with your paper, we know like there's the paper we would all know to collect, right? Like the crazy instructions for a Nintendo World Championships thing, but like he's throwing things on eBay.
Like old sports cards from like 1910, like their old scorecards that never got recorded into like their actual history for their college. So it's like that piece of history, I just put it up, do enough research for it, and sold for $500 in a day.
It's amazing.
Little piece of paper. And this is the kind of stuff when you buy auctions and go to people just shovel in the trash. Old paper.
Yeah, they don't know.
Same thing with like scripts and all that stuff. Like you might not know, like it might have just been like a junk script, but then there's like, oh, there's a stamp that says 20th Century Fox that I looked at Chris's today. And I was like, just throw it up, man. I mean, there's probably nothing on it. You know what I mean? If you do enough research on a certain item, it'll show in your description and people will be like, the backstory is what sells it.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. You were gonna say something.
Well, yeah, just my opinion on that. So the topic, like YouTubers aren't real resellers.
Even collectors sometimes is added to that conversation.
Yeah.
How so?
People will just be like, oh, well, you're only doing it because you're showing off to strangers on the internet. Right? That's a huge thing with pickup videos. Like, why are you really collecting?
Oh, right. So you're just collecting because you're a YouTuber.
Right. We'll say
you're not like, an actual real collector.
Meet people, right? Let's just say, and they have giant collections. They're not showing the world. Nobody on the internet knows. Nobody in the world knows. It's, hey, yeah, my name's Joe. I got, check out my collection. Whoa, this guy's a real collector. A lot of times there's that conversation of like, are collectors on YouTube just doing it because it's like, almost like, you know, you can flex weekly. I got this. Look, I got this new game. I got this. And it's a weird thing. I've seen even a guy that I watch, Iowa Retro Dad, like he did a video saying that, like, he's like, his title of the video is like, I'm like upset. I was just buying to impress strangers on the internet. Yeah. I'm not saying that he wasn't or was a real collector, you know, but it is a conversation.
And there are a lot of legitimate channels that are transparent like yours that show your side of the business, like Chase After the Right Price, and then you have
and then fake channels like us.
But it's like, you know, you got Homeschool Picker, and then you also got Commonwealth. They all show their sides of the business that's like actually legitimate sales.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even Harry Tornado is on it too. So it's like all these people, like they show the background. And
do you know his real name?
Huh? Josh.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you thought his name was Harry. I'm like, sweet.
No. I'm big fans of them.
You've been really deep.
Love Josh.
I feel like this podcast, you've been so deep in thought. I've been looking at you and you're like,
topic, he looks
was,
up.
No, yeah. This topic I was thinking about, and I the whole time you were talking too. So I do believe that YouTubers are resellers. You guys are reselling. Mm-hmm. Like you're YouTubers and then you started reselling.
Totally.
But my opinion of it is, so I was a reseller. I've been doing it for 12 years, like back to when I opened my first store. Back when I did that, there was almost like zero YouTubers in my, that I can remember back. This would be 2008, 9, 10, 11, that were really
YouTube was 06.
Yeah, so I don't remember any back then. I'm sure there were some.
No, but I'm saying you're correct. The game hunting scene didn't really start happening until much later.
Well, and you guys were some of the first game hunters, but the idea of I'm going to game hunt and showcase my reselling did not exist.
No,
shame.
So there was resellers. So like when I opened my store, of course, I'm a reseller. So my opinion on though with YouTubers that then become resellers is like I remember the early stages of reselling back then and when it was like a grind. You had to learn the basics of like social media with like Facebook and like every comment. It was a real grind, like
the brick
Facebook
and mortar
advertising, brick and mortar, like I only made $75 today kind of grind. I do feel like sometimes from the latest, what I've seen with some YouTubers, close friends of ours, and maybe even you guys, and this isn't a knock on you guys.
Oh, I don't care. You're
like, you can't offend me. You know, like, for instance, like when you guys run your whatnots, like you guys get some crazy, you have crazy eyes on what you're selling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even some guys that we know that own video game stores that just like, like Retro-ray? Explode with game. Numbers.
They're our friends, bro. We can they'd be the first ones to be open with.
And
you.
Even, of course, even and Game Tower too. So I mean, like it does. So
well, I would say Elliot was like a reseller first before he gained a big following, maybe on social media. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like because you're the YouTuber, and this isn't a knock, you have a big marketing arm. Marketing is part of business. When you get into it, you're all of a sudden like boom, like it just explodes.
Yeah.
It might to me. It seems like. Dang, it's like that doesn't seem real life. Like that's not what it's like.
But also, what most people don't see. What most people don't see who could say that behind the curtain is they don't see the 12 years of me doing what's not real life and grinding for 12 years to get there.
That's why I don't.
So when people complain to me about whatnot, I go, hit me up in 12 years and let me know how it's going.
Yeah. Well, because of course, in any business, like marketing is so key.
100%.
So when you pair the two together, and again, it's not a knock. It's like, dang, I wish I had the huge YouTube following. I wish I'm almost like, man, and I should have done that back in 2010.
Exactly.
But it was so shunned back then. Yeah. Like you would have just, I would have gotten like crucified.
Was it ever shunned? Was it ever shunned in your world? Because for games, it was very shunned. Was there like a connection?
Mm.
People were so close with clothing that they didn't want you to sell it? Or was that never a thing?
I don't think so. I think with clothing, especially because there's such a problem with fast fashion and landfills and 90% of what a thrift store has clothing-wise will never sell. So it's kind of looked more, I think, as a recycling. I mean, of course, some resellers, people don't like resellers and when they don't, I think, educate themselves on like what we do and that every business resells. But yeah, I think it's shunned as far as like it's not the most glamorous job. Like I'm going to like the bins and stuff and digging, or I'm going through a thrift store and digging and I'm finding deals and
Will say I've done the bins.
Yeah.
You've done the bins.
Yeah.
And again with what Chris says, not knocking, I hate it. I hate the bins.
Yeah.
You and Josh and all y'all that do it, like more power to you. I went and I felt like I walked out with like I felt like just like what happened? And I got nothing.
Yeah.
I felt dirty.
And I dig into swap me. So you, props too. I mean, more power. They don't know how much gruel and gross it is.
Do the bins all the time?
She's a big
I've only done it one time myself. And I was like, never again. I'm not ever.
Dude, we're all like the guys and we're like, that's dirty.
Meanwhile, my hands were like filthy all day today.
Ricky was going to talk. We got to let this happen. What were you going to say, Ricky?
All right. So it's like a difference because I remember swap meet, I feel like it's dirt. But when we went to the bins, we were pulling stuff out and I swear it was like sweat or something. And I'm just like, this is not worth it. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this?
I feel like half the times we put our hand in, a sound effect happened. Yeah, like, so I was like,
oh yeah. There's like underwear in there. There's socks.
No, I never thought about used undies.
Remember that one video I pulled out dirty, like brown stained underwear.
I remember
it was so gross.
You resold them?
How did Tom get there?
Yeah.
Although there's a market. There's a
market.
Oh my God.
No.
Really?
Oh but I also God. Don't, I don't know. I just don't care. I think you have to know what to look for. I have like a Rolodex in my head of thousands of brands I'm looking for or not looking for. And I think that I get in that zone and I just am looking for certain things. And it's so exciting when you find like a Filson vest, you know, it sells for $150 and it's at the bins. So that keeps me going. My kids went to the bins here with me and one loved it. One was not so thrilled with it. But yeah, it was, you know, it's a grind, but it's, I don't think there's any shame in finding really cool. It just, I think it definitely opened my eyes to the waste that exists. Like the fact that there's amazing stuff in the bins that just is discarded and is going to then end up in a landfill. I'm like, ah, this is so cool. Like, I'm so glad I could at least save it and someone wants it, you know?
I've definitely called resellers the repurposers of the world for sure. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you're just going to save something. And then if it finds a new home, that's great, you know? Yeah, like and that. What kind of like made you make the transition from video games to clothing? I know that's a big jump in different directions.
I'm about to go save something to my bladder. I'll be right back. You guys keep going. Keep going. I'm struggling.
This is the first.
I think because I was, I don't know. Yeah, it just was a natural transition. I found tons of clothes. Maybe that's it. Video games are really competitive.
Yes.
And because I was selling them on Amazon, they don't get as much value on eBay. Amazon is the way to go, I think, for used video games. So I didn't really feel comfortable sharing because I didn't want my Amazon store to be exposed. And I find so many, I don't know how Caleb does it and how you guys do it with how many video games you find. You're in a great area. Or I don't know, maybe I'm just not looking. It's a great area. It's really competitive. I guess I encounter so much more clothing that my percentage of success is higher for like going through and finding stuff. I'll always find stuff with clothes, but with video games, I guess I wasn't that confident that I would like go to one location. Maybe that was it too. I don't really have the luxury of going, I guess it's not a luxury, but like going to a million places with my kids. And so if I can't go to one place and know that I'm going to find stuff, then like my video won't do well and my store won't succeed. So yeah, that's kind of, that was my thinking behind it, but I don't know.
And are you strictly doing like newer women's clothes at this point? Is it vintage?
I'll do anything. I still do any, vintage? I still pick up anything that I know has value, but I'm most familiar with certain like popular brands of clothing and shoes, I would say, like things that I just know consistently sell for me on eBay.
And you get great stuff over there. I'm like, dude, Utah has a lot of good stuff.
Utah has good stuff. If you, but I'm also looking for hours and hours and hours. And then Riff, he's very talented in making it look very seamless and fun. But it's usually many hours of looking and digging through used underwear.
I would say like
until I find
what
cool
are some
stuff.
Like tips you would have for somebody like to have like the motivation to like list and ship, because that for me is the hardest thing is listing, because getting to it is the hardest thing. I mean, do you have any tips for somebody out there?
For sure. I would say hiring a virtual assistant has been a dream. So I would say for sure do that. Like I think, so I just take the pictures and then I send them off in Google Photos to my VA. I've done that for like a year and a half now. And it's awesome because they create all the drafts on eBay and then I just have to, you know, tweak them and put the price in and then schedule them out. So
I don't know if you want to answer this.
Yeah.
Is there like a price range on what that costs? That does sound enticing.
Yeah.
Is it something you can say?
Yeah, totally. Okay. You can go on many. There's Upwork.com. There's Fiverr.com. And you can find a lot of people. I've gone through maybe 10 VAs before I found like my guy.
Got it.
And he's awesome. And he does
it
fast.
What's the typical pay range?
Yeah, like $6 an hour, $5 an hour.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cheap. That's what I pay Curtis.
Yeah. you pay me in hugs.
Yeah. Warm embraces.
Yeah. Chris, you were going to ask a question. Do you remember it?
What's your favorite horror movie?
Do you, like with clothes, do you sell on Amazon at all anymore? Or are you completely off?
You know, I just haven't in a while. Amazon, you have to keep up that grind and I let it go to the wayside a little bit. Yeah. I still have an active store. I'm still engaged in things, but I haven't paid much attention to it.
Yeah. Especially with clothes. Like, would you sell, like, obviously if they're new clothes, you could sell them on Amazon, but can you sell used clothes on Amazon?
No.
You can't, right?
And I did sell new clothes on Amazon for a while, but Amazon has such a good return policy. Bad.
It definitely hurts small businesses.
Yeah.
So you can return anything.
Oh, they return. I got so many returns. It was really discouraging. Returns multiple times, multiple. And I was like,
it can be for clothes too, because it's like it doesn't fit. And then
exactly.
I was gonna say
it's annoying.
Brutal.
I used to sell on Amazon initially. That was how I started everything, even before my stores. I was an Amazon seller, so way back to like I think I probably 2008, which was like infancy of Amazon. Back then, video games were crazy on there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And there was very few sellers. Obviously, got very competitive and very restrictive. I'm no longer selling on Amazon, and I can say I am so happy to not be selling on there anymore.
Yeah.
It was such a pain, I felt like, being a seller. Like Caleb, if you're in there, I guess you kind of like get used to it and like that's what you do. But I only sell on eBay now, and I absolutely love selling on eBay. Yeah. It's a little bit more time getting the listings up.
Yep.
Yeah.
But there's actually, like, I feel like more of a community within eBay too. Like the messages I get.
Oh, totally.
And like, they're actually like nice, friendly messages where you have like good conversations with people.
Yeah.
Amazon, I would be like, who is this person, a nasty, horrendous person on the other end that is swearing at me about something that I shipped to them? And I just never liked it at all.
Oh, I can't imagine how hard it would be being a clothing seller, because I feel like the odds of them returning a video game are still much lower, right? You order Mario Odyssey or get Mario Odyssey, right? Yeah. But you with clothes, I mean, I know how it is to buy something and you want your perfect skinniness, you want your perfect length, you want your perfect waist size, and everything fits different. You know, a size 32 is different in every brand, basically.
I include measurements, so I take pictures of the measurements of the clothing so that people know. I mean, I don't know if they're checking it.
Some people do
which
that.
You can do with eBay, but of course with Amazon, you can't.
Oh, you can't do it with Amazon.
Right, it wouldn't work on Amazon. No, you can't do it.
And they would, I agree with Amazon. It was really, you don't have like anyone you can really call or talk to. I don't think they care about sellers.
Oh my gosh.
I think eBay cares about their sellers. I don't think Amazon
does. Not care about sellers at all. They don't have a phone number you can call.
No, you can't talk to anybody.
Big Daddy Bezos.
You can get banned and just good luck, you know? And who are you going to talk to? You can't talk to anybody. It's hard.
Don't they also give like priority like to certain like vendors that have been there for so long?
Yeah.
Like, so if you start
volume
a store,
sellers.
You could be at the bottom.
I'm not going to lie. I actually, like, from my experience with selling on Amazon, I despise Amazon. I despise them. Now, I still use them to buy stuff because I'm like, if I need batteries, I'm going
to
go there.
I tell you, I just got an email about them being a sponsor. Thanks a lot.
But for there goes my that. Experience of selling there was just so bad. I did it for years, and it was very profitable. It's not that it wasn't.
Yeah.
But compared to eBay, I would just take that any day. And then retail, of course, is another thing, which I just love because it's human interaction.
Yeah.
But the Amazon selling, I felt, was so distant and so like cold.
Yeah.
And I just did not like it at all.
Totally. Yeah. I
haven't
fully
seen you so like.
Oh, I do. Yeah. I don't know if we talked about it.
Except
like
when
Amazon.
We did like the Christmas movie ranking system. Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing.
That was the last time I saw you so angry.
As a fellow seller, I can agree with what you're saying. I totally get it. It's really.
Yeah,
hard.
No, if you make your living on selling on Amazon, not to
Great.
Say,
yeah,
Caleb, do it. And
gosh,
I, yeah,
Caleb,
you know, I give him, of course. Do it. But my experience just, I would never go back to doing that again. I just did not like it. No.
Yeah.
All right. All right. We're going to go on to our next one. It's going to be agree or disagree.
Oh, now it's time for some fun.
Yay.
All right. Ashley, do you know how this works?
I think so.
Thumbs up if you agree. Thumbs down if you disagree. Then we discuss.
Okay.
So Curtis, our friend, is going to read us some statements, not questions.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're going to discuss. And it doesn't always necessarily mean
Should I do it in my announcer voice for once?
Yeah, let me hear it. But, right. But only if you don't stutter.
No.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Ready?
All right. Mario is the greatest mascot of all time.
Mario is the greatest mascot of all time.
For video? Like,
oh, just like of all time? All time. You heard the statement.
Yeah. It's not Krampus, dude.
Yes.
Sorry.
So we got a agree from me, a disagree from Ashley. Yeah.
Let me think Ricky's about this thinking. One.
So remember, if you disagree, it means you're gonna have to think of one that's better.
I already have one.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
All right.
Oh, I already know.
I'm just gonna agree.
Agree.
Think of something else.
I'm gonna disagree.
Okay, let's go. So two disagrees, two agrees. Ashley, what is your disagree?
So by what do you mean by mascot? I should
mascot
ask.
Anything like Mrs. Butterworth for all we care.
Okay.
A mascot for a company.
The best mascot of all time is Swoop the Ute mascot for the Utah Utes. That's it.
I don't know the words you just said.
We're using the Utah team.
Swoop
it's a Utah
is our mascot, our college football mascot.
I literally thought you were singing the Connie song. Swoop. Ashley, you're one of my favorite people I've ever met. That's one of the worst answers I've ever heard.
Well, I have to give a shout out to my youth.
Okay, to your hometown. I appreciate you being loving to your home. As much as I disagree with that.
As much as
I want to say Mario, because I do love Mario a lot, I'm going to say probably Mickey Mouse
I'm about to wreck all of you with this one.
Uh-oh.
I was hoping you wouldn't say Mickey Mouse.
I'll just jump in. I had an agree initially, but then I disagreed because I was going to say Mickey Mouse.
Yeah,
Mickey Mouse trumps Mario just as iconic, been around way longer.
You guys are going to forget all these words. Go ahead. Keep going.
Probably winning a fight.
Let's hear it. Keep going. That's there were statistics done.
All right.
Let's more see. Children around the world recognize Mario than Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, but really? How? What
it's
about
one of the most popular? It's one of the most popular mascot statistics.
Dang.
Is Mario is a more recognizable character than Mickey Mouse. Hey. You could show kids all around the world Mickey Mouse and Mario. The odds of them saying Mario is far
what about
higher.
Pikachu? Pikachu's got a rank up there. Pokemon?
Yeah. Pikachu's really up yeah. there. Pikachu's
obviously, and that's there. Me pulling out a stat, and it really just comes into personal preference
yeah.
in reality. For me, it's Mario, though.
Because I was going to say older people are not going to say Mario. But I'm going to say most people, like older people, will say Mickey.
But I'll, also say, but I'll also say that Mario has been representing Nintendo for a very long time with solid A to S level material.
Love that. That's true.
Where
that's
Mickey great. Mouse
Mickey has fallen. Yeah,
Disney has fallen pretty hard in the last couple years.
Yeah. He's popular
and
for the
Mickey
wrong
in
reason.
Particular. When was the last time they came out with a Mickey movie or anything?
Right. I mean, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Right. Did anybody watch that?
New Mickey
I saw a lot of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
I did too.
So we have, our children were all about
my kids didn't ever really get into the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. But yeah, what has Mickey been in? That's a good point.
Ooh. Sounds like I just answered that. No. I'm just kidding. No, but I get it.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse is my, but not about Youpity Scoop or whatever you said.
Swoop the Hawk is the Utah Ute mascot.
Yo, when she said for Swoop the Utah Utes.
She's like, Swoopy Ute. I'm like, all righty.
Can you edit that out? Oh, wait.
No edits.
No.
Just a zoom
well,
in.
My fellow Ute fans will understand.
Yes.
If all that's all that matters.
if my stutters have to stay in, yours has to stay in.
You're not getting a break.
All right, we're going to go on our
Curtis,
next one.
You just keep inching up.
No. Doors the blacklist. No.
The entire blacklist just says Curtis.
The first time Curtis has ever inched up.
No. You're terrible. All right, we're going to go on to our next one. It's going to be Die Hard is considered a Christmas movie.
Oh. Ooh. I'm saying no. Disagree. And okay, agree from Chris. Agree from Ricky. Disagree from me.
I've never seen Die Hard.
Okay.
Sorry. I know. But I'm going to say yes because I do have a really wide definition of Christmas movies. Like Lord of the Rings is a Christmas movie to me because it came out around Christmas.
Whoa.
Same with Harry Potter.
Nice.
Like so I don't like to have such specific definitions. So yeah, I'm gonna say I'm gonna say yes, Die Hard can be a Christmas movie.
So my disagree, as much as I don't have like a harsh answer, like it's definitely not. But for me, a Christmas movie doesn't take place around Christmas. The story is revolving around Christmas. For me, a storyline that revolves around Christmas, what Christmas is, the spirit of Christmas, that's like where the story arc is. That's a Christmas movie to me. Okay. Like otherwise, you know, I could say Gremlins is a Christmas movie and all this and that, which to certain people, maybe it is.
I get it.
Wait a minute. On that criteria, then Home Alone just takes place around Christmas.
No. It's all about getting in home in time for Christmas and being home for Christmas.
Not much of it, though.
Oh, that is the biggest lie I've ever heard. Also, some say that Kevin McAllister turned out to be Jigsaw from Saw movies.
Oh.
Because he's one of the most intricate makers of traps and all this. And there was like lore behind it.
You were connecting it back to horror.
There's a ton of lore.
Now I even like it even more.
There's a ton of lore.
I hate when people connect like different things.
That would be awesome.
Also, Jar Jar is a Sith Lord. Just saying.
He really is.
Imagine if they made him. That would be cool if they made a movie where he did like Home Alone 4 and it's him turning into
doing
Saw.
The traps. Do you want to play me? But yeah, so what's your reasoning for it being a Christmas movie?
I just like the change of pace from all the other traditional Christmas movies.
So it's more of a personal preference, like.
Yeah, it obviously revolves around Christmas. They're not talking about the wholesomeness. They're, you know, shooting each other and
yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay,
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, now it is very Christmas themed.
Yes.
Do I like to watch it around Christmas? I absolutely do. Because when I'm like, oh, it's Christmas, I want to watch some movies. You know, I want to watch Rudolph. I want to watch Elf. And then I'm like, oh, I want to watch Die Hard. Like, I just want to change a pace. So
then he switches over to Halloween.
Now let me watch them kill Santa.
No, and I like Krampus for the same reason, too. Like, I do like a different change of pace. I need something.
Curtis is Christmas name. Ricky, what about you? What makes it a Christmas movie for you?
I think I just watched it during Christmas so many times.
Yeah.
I just affiliated it. Like, it's correct. In the back of my head. That's all it is.
That's a good point, though. I think maybe that
same with me.
That's situational. Yeah. If your family watches it around Christmas, it feels like a Christmas movie.
Yes.
And dude, it's always on cable at Christmas time. That's the only time I see it on. I'm like, oh, it's on again. Oh, let's put it on.
Yeah, for sure. Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter are not going up.
Curtis,
going
we
up.
Now have front and back Curtis on Black the list.
I can't even think of how he talks. Dang it.
I can't even.
No, all right, we're gonna go on to our next one. That was a good Jar Jar, dude.
I'll take it as Jar Jar. That was your Smeagol.
Smeagol?
Yeah. Jar Jar can do triple backflips. He's a Sith Lord.
That sounded close, though. All right, we're gonna go on to our next one. It's gonna be video games now are better than games in the 90s.
Video games now are better than games in the 90s. Rough answer. There's a lot to dice with this.
Come on, hey, we gotta figure it out.
Disagree.
I agree.
Agree. Ashley likes them better now.
I do. Well,
wait. Where's Ricky's guess first? Vote first, then Ashley.
Really goes. Into it right now.
I really am into this.
Video games now. Is this?
I gotta complicate this just a little bit. Like, let's say there's they redid Mario RPG,
uh-huh.
And I'm gonna
that counts
rate
as
this
now.
One.
That
okay.
counts now.
Okay, so I'll go with yes.
Okay.
Ricky,
defend yourself.
Not even real retro gamers.
Nope.
Hey, Ricky, we got to get you out of the SoCal Gaming Expo, bro. No, go ahead, Ashley. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I want to say real quick because I'm sure everyone watching or listening is like, "Why is this clothing seller here?" I do love to play video games. I love it. I play it with my kids. We love Zelda. We love 100% Breath of the Wild. 100% Tears of the Kingdom. We love Mario, and I.
By all means, I can say behind the scenes.
Okay,
are a gamer.
Yeah.
We've talked in many details where I'm like, how does she know that?
I know all of it. Yeah, Ocarina of Time with my brother. Love games. So as much as, I guess the new games, I just love having my Switch and playing Hollow Knight and just the immersiveness, how long they are, the complexity, the puzzles. I just feel like it's only improved over time. Although, I love a good nostalgic Mario game, you know? So, but I do find myself playing the new ones. So,
okay. Nice.
Okay. Ricky?
I love the old games, but I do like, I appreciate the old games so much. But something about the new graphics I love, like Blazing Chrome, like, dude, you know this, like, how good is that
it's
game?
Great game. It's
Cuphead?
Cuphead's a great game.
So all these games, they were, without those games, without the retro games, they wouldn't be born. But now they're like to this extent where it's amazing. Mario Wonder, I finally played it today.
Oh, it's so good.
It's good.
Mario Wonder is so good.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, yes, the ones back then were so great. But nowadays there's so many options, like you can do so many more things.
I agree.
It just makes it so good.
Now for the real answers.
We'll tell them how. So the graphics, of course, are way better. The complexity is way better.
So you agree then?
Well, those things are better, but whether they are actually better,
is relative.
It is relative, of course. But if I can play a new game and thoroughly enjoy it, but I can play a 90s game and love it. Like, it's not like that is now faded because the graphics are better and the complexity is better. I would almost even compare it to like a movie. Like, CGI is amazing now. Does that take away from like Terminator 2 CGI? Heck no. The old CGI was awesome, you know? So like, just because that technology gets better doesn't mean that like those 90s games aren't incredible.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it. I love both. I love playing games now and I love games then. But I wouldn't say one is better than the other.
Mm-hmm. My take is there's so many hardships within new games as well. It's not all the games, but there's so many add-ons. If you buy a game, you're not really buying the game. You're buying a game, you're buying the starter pack, right? You're buying a piece of the puzzle. They're giving you the car, but they're not giving you the engine because they're like, well, we have DLC coming. Oh, and there's patches coming.
Oh, there's all that.
Oh, and there's glitches coming. And oh, if you want this edition, it's going to cost this. But for me, I'm going to go just from the purest answer. Like, I could name more games on just the Super Nintendo than I can even games in the last 10 years that are like 10 out of 10s for me. Mm. Like, I could probably name 40 games that I consider to be like some of the greatest games of all time just on the Super Nintendo alone, not even talking about the Genesis, the Nintendo and stuff, versus even if you told me PlayStation 4, I'd be like, I can maybe give you two, maybe one. I don't know. I don't even have that many that I think are like those games where in 40 years I'm gonna be like, dude, remember playing Cuphead's maybe one of them. It's maybe, Mario Odyssey, pretty much tapped out. And that's it.
But see, that's the question was, are they better? Like, do they work better? Like, you can play those Super Nintendo games on the Switch, and it's great. It's wonderful. So, like, I don't know. It's kind of a trick question if you think about it. Yeah. Because technically, it's still new.
It's not a trick question. It is a statement.
What would you say about that? I know you're not playing, but what do you say?
I would say that I would fit more like with the nostalgia factor of it all. Like, I'm very rudimentary with video games. Yes, I do like my first-person shooters, but yeah, you would rather play on the old systems than play on newer stuff.
You two aren't allowed to get Mario RPG then. That's just kidding.
That's fine. That's fine. All right, we're going to go on to our next one. It's going to be AI is a good thing.
Ooh, straight up. I like how that is so broad.
Wow.
That is very broad.
AI is a good thing.
It's a good thing. I don't know.
Wow, this is a brutal question because there's so much good in it and there's so much bad in it.
Yep.
That's why it's great.
I'm going to put...
Oh, man.
I'm going to put no.
I'm going to put no.
I don't like where it's going, even though I use it to make money.
Mid-low trash.
Down for me. Down from Ricky. Ashley's up. Chris is down.
For a reason.
I'm disagreeing.
Ooh, Ashley, all right.
I'm not saying I like it.
You
want to
wipe out all human races. Okay, we get it.
No, I think the only reason I'm doing a thumbs up is because, is because I think we have to embrace it. It's coming, and it's part of like our society, and it's only going to grow more.
That's what they told the Nazis.
Jesus. Bleep. I'll edit that one out.
So I feel like I would like to say, you know, there's aspects I don't like, but I think we have to I have to learn and adapt and embrace it. And make it part of my business. And I know, because I just have seen the pattern of pushing technology, what that does, you know, older generations, it's not been good. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to have to learn and adapt to it.
Yeah, nice. I totally get you on that. Totally. Yeah. And that's why all of our answers were all of us basically struggling to agree on this. I guess. But yeah, I definitely use it for like thumbnails. Not completely. I use all my real stuff and then add things. And I've been using AI even in video editing now. It will do certain things where it can remove you from part of the screen and erase the background in seconds. Where normally keyframing that stuff out would take hours upon hours upon hours is now taking 10 seconds. So for the workload, yes. But definitely, obviously, where all of our concerns were with, you know, what will it do at some point? My biggest thing that worried me was like when the whole like voice thing became so good. And you're crazy listening to any political figure saying anything you want them
deep
to say.
Deepfake, scary. Oh my God.
It's scary because it's like, you know, back in the day, you'd be like, oh, they said this, they said that. But now it's like, what can you trust with an audio recording? At this point,
dude, the Joe Rogan ones are gnarly, man.
The Trump ones, the Biden ones, they're all like, did they say that? I don't know. Like, it can be scary and be something that is a deciding factor for a huge market.
Dude, they even have AI making like music.
Oh, they're amazing.
Dude, and they're like pretty similar to the actual artist.
One of the best ones is Plankton singing, I'm begging.
Oh, that's a good one.
Plankton singing that is good.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely
That's
crazy.
The reason I don't like it. I mean, it's such an amazing tool, and it's like such still in its infancy. So, and we're like kind of witnessing this thing. I think we're all blown away by just how fast and how incredible it is within like a couple of years. It's unbelievable. But the creativity aspect, I like the way I think it's just taken over with artwork, writing poems and lyrics, and it's just going to take over, I think, a lot of the creative stuff that we as humans have done for since the beginning of time. Yeah. And now it just replaces it. It's so much faster and can do it so much, not better. I wouldn't say it does it better, but it can do it so much quicker. Like if I just want, like in the past, I would go even for artwork for like the expo. I'd be like, oh, let's have an artist draw that up. I can literally just go on and be like, oh yeah, give me this. And it's like, there it is. And I'm like, damn, I don't need the artist anymore. Yeah. And I get to just scroll through. So I do feel bad for the creative aspect and the artists that might disappear.
Which we are hiring real artists. Let's make it clear. And I want to say that too about thumbnails because I use all my own stuff. I don't just create a thing out of nowhere, out of thin air, and say, make me this thumbnail. And it looks, no, it's not like that at all. You have to manipulate your own pictures just to make the sky more blue and make different clouds that weren't really there that are more, you know, engaging to look at. But yeah.
It's definitely an untapped potential for
We've all seen iRobot.
Dude, I don't.
All right. I want to end on this one, on this topic. It's going to be a good one. Ocarina of Time deserves to be the in first place of the greatest of all time.
So if you go on a lot of forums, like any big forum, there's a vast majority that will lock in, you know, 100 greatest games of all time list. A lot of times Ocarina of Time is right there.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
Wait, like, is it number one?
Thumbs down.
Oh, all
right. I think on Metacritic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The number one. I think it's number one.
On Metacritic, it might be.
I think so.
As number one, or just in the top? Statement, like, Zelda Ocarina of Time is the greatest titled game of all time.
I love it. I'm probably one of the guys that loves it the most, and I'm still not going to say yes.
Disagree.
Ricky.
Ashley's
we
a
had
yes.
a thing going.
I'm sorry, Ashley. Now you're with Curtis.
That's okay.
Hurts to see these thumbs down.
I'm good. I'll represent. Right, I love it. It's just perfection. It's a perfect story. It was so revolutionary. Maybe that's part of the time, like the timeline. Maybe it's just so nostalgic for me and my brother playing it and just being so immersed in this whole new world. And the story ties together beautifully. It's so creative. It just pioneered so many techniques that were up and coming. The music is so iconic.
It is.
So good. And it was all written by one guy. Like, it's just, and symphonies have been written around the music.
Unbelievable
symphonies. Incredible. I just can't think of another game that has quite that impact.
Donkey Kong
musically,
Country
artistically, story-wise. playability, replayability. Even my kids love it. And they're, you know, they're used to Switch and, you know, really nice graphics.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm passionate about it.
I like that though. That was really good.
That's a pretty good argument.
And they're gonna say she was a clothes person. No way.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm about to squash that argument though. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, for me, it's not even really my favorite Zelda game, so I find it hard to put it as the best game of all time. But then if you talk about all gamers in general, like, yes, not just my personal opinion,
yep,
mm-hmm, I'm trying to, like, as you were saying what you're saying, I'm like, yeah, what would be considered just a better game than that?
And I think that, like, Mario 64 might be a competitor, but I think with the story and the depth, that's why I can, mm-hmm, see it going into a little, right, more of a higher rank for a lot of people.
The lore and, like, everything's...
Yeah, like, I would, yeah, say Link to the Past is a better game, but collectively as gamers, does everybody get... Yeah, right. But we feel that way, but is the...
But that's...
In gaming in general,
Link to the Past is awesome. Tough... Love Link to the Past, so agreed there.
I'm going to see if it shows up on Metacritic if I pull up. And Metacritic is, like, a conglomeration, is that what they call it?
So
what is number two? I'm just curious.
It's Breath of the Wild. I don't know if I'm right.
Not
on
for
that.
Zelda games, for all time.
Right, I think for all time.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild. Like, I think you're right,
like,
on that.
What about, like, the Call of Duty games? Are they up there?
Like, you're disagreeing. Get out of here.
Like, what about Halo 2? Is Halo 2 up there?
Okay, so here we go. Greatest game of all time on Metacritic, which is a conglomeration of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Does not make any sense. This is not correct.
Say it.
It said, yes, Ocarina of Time number one, and then second one was Grand Theft Auto, then Soul Calibur, then Tony Hawk. I don't think these are correct.
Wow.
Grand Theft Auto would be up there.
Like, but see, like, I think, right, like, I was trying to think of other ones, like Call of Duty games and just that people love.
Yeah.
Like Grand Theft Auto, I could see that being number two, actually.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good franchise.
That's the most selling game ever. Right?
And
I love the Grand Theft Autos, so I could see that being up there.
I feel like it's like, yeah, Curtis's, like, crew that made that
list. I don't think I'm the Democrat.
I'm a Christian. I don't play Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, but just kidding. Of course, personal stuff, but, like, overall, like, collectively for the community, like, yeah, and I would even think Call of Duties are probably up there pretty high. Like,
I was a mega Call of Duty player.
Yeah, major games that are the best games ever. But I don't know, Ocarina, you made a good argument.
That was a great argument.
That was a really great argument.
Yeah, so I mean, but then some could argue Mario Bros. NES because it quite literally saved the entire world, yeah, from the video game crash. Right. Like, if it wasn't for the Super Mario Bros. On the NES, side-scrolling Mario, that, like, changed everything.
Yeah, but you also have to see how, like, under the umbrella of, like, the generation of games at that time, why it falls under all gamers, right?
Yeah.
Ocarina of Time hit more people.
And even now, yeah, I guess it would probably hit with more people than an original. I don't know.
It's
so many kids, like, I think I even asked your kids something, like, earlier, yeah, and they were like, the original Mario Bros. And I don't remember what it was,
yeah,
but I just remember I'm being like, oh, like, that's a thing for even them,
mm-hmm,
to mention.
Yeah, but they're also indoctrinated by me with, like, all the old games,
true,
gaming systems,
yeah,
and the things I like.
Harry Potter. She, by the way, she very much was like, is there a way we can work into Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah. And actually, I was like, On our next topic, we will.
You'll get your time.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll get your time.
Don't worry. How about you, Ricky? I mean, you had a disagree up, which...
Listen, I love the game. Everything she said was beautiful. This is, like, the first game you actually played, like, as a kid all the way to adult. So it was, like, it was a beautiful story. So good. But at the same time, like, to me, like, DK Country is, like, one of, like, the craziest, like, jumps it's so good. The music's all there, but I can't. I don't know.
Gerard considers that the best game of all time too.
I love it. I love it as much as I love Ocarina of Time. I can't put it as number one because there's a lot of games that should be at number one. And I feel like this list, whoever created this list, is mainly the younger crowd. Because if you go with
Metacritic. So a Metacritic,
just a bunch of people voting.
It takes every review and puts it into a bucket.
But here's the thing on the review. It's like for us, everyone here plays a lot of games. I feel like a lot of people don't play all the games. A lot of gamers
that's true.
They don't go past N64.
But that's where it becomes an opinionated like thing, right? So it's an umbrella of everyone, not just...
Well, that's why I think what you said, where it like just hit the sweet spot, where it's catering to young and to old, and it's just like across the board. Most people see that and be like, "Oh yeah, that was a good game. I'll give that a 9 or a 10."
Ashley's just nodding, like, "I nailed this one." Yeah.
she's like,
"Pretty much smoked these guys."
She's like, "I can't wait till we get to the Harry Potter one." Now. All right, we're gonna end it on that one. We're gonna go on to our next one.
I don't think I've ever been able to publicly like defend my favorite game. This feels so good. I've never had a platform.
Here we go. Next down.
All right, we're going to go on to our next topic. It's going to be going to rental stores in the 90s.
Oh, man, what a fun conversation. There's no better way to age ourselves in this conversation here. Going to rental stores, it was a different time. It's one of those things that is completely dead. It is weird to think. I think the other day I said to my kids, I was like, oh, this was like a Blockbuster thing. And they're like, what's Blockbuster? And I was like, no. You don't know. And it's just one of those things where it's such a lost art so fast, right? We talk about, like, in the last podcast we just did, was like, we talked about old video games, how they can be generational and people are still going back to them. But it's like certain things, like 90s rental stores and the experience we had, it's dead with new generations. It's not a thing. I want to know what was your childhood rental as far as a game? What was your childhood rental as far as movies? I mean, I feel like an old man along being like, kids will just never know the feeling of going and being like, recommend me a movie, and they give you a movie and you see box art and you're just like,
all they see is Redbox now. That's it.
Not even that, dude.
That's
Netflix.
Actually, that's crazy.
And they see it like they're like, there's the excitement.
But what was one of those experiences at being at a rental store?
First of all, what was your rental store of choice?
Blockbuster was down. I'm thinking of like when we lived in Texas, it was like down the road, and my brother and I would go. Like he got an N64 for Christmas, and he got to pick one game, and it was Mario 64. We went to Blockbuster, and like we played together all the time. So we picked out Ocarina of Time, and we were like, let's just try this one, and we loved it so much he would like mark on it, and when it would be returned we'd go back and check it out again and know like that's our one with maybe our safe state on it or a safe place on it.
Smart little vandalism trick.
Which is bad. Don't do that, kids.
They can't. Don't worry about it.
They can't do that. Then we got like Banjo-Kazooie and Turok, like all these, because back then, I mean, video games are $60 now, but they were $60 back then which was like
some even more
way out of, I mean, back then that's a ton of money. Yeah, some even more. So they were expensive. So renting them was like your chance to try them out, play games that you can't afford. So yeah, that was my experience. Loved it. He's so nostalgic. Nothing better than going to Blockbuster and picking out a movie and a game.
Just what an experience to walk into and like just
browse.
You it's interesting now because when people have game rooms too, a lot of times, you know, games are faced, you know, on the sides. You're seeing the spines of them now. A lot of game rooms because of space. But in Blockbuster, you're walking in, and 9 times out of 10, depending on the layout, they were face out. So you could see every game and its full artwork, and it's full, you know, even VHSs and their full artwork just displayed half the time for you to see. It was like such, I feel like video game companies that were making stuff, they got to like display their art in a completely different way than just the game. Because right now it's like, what's the game? I'll download it, right? It's like, you don't, the art of it being an art of the physical form is gone.
Yeah.
But back then, I feel like these people who are designing these covers are getting such another level of acknowledgement at these stores because people are going in and staring at them. If anything, examining them, right? Because you're picking it up and you're basing if you're going to spend your money or your mom and dad's money on what it looks like. So you're digging, you're reading everything, you see everything, look at the character, that looks cool, that looks scary, you know, and you decide. So it's beautiful. I'm a little.
Did you have any? You guys like have any other stores other than Blockbuster as like rental stores near
Video
you?
$1.
Like a local?
Oh. I had a Holly. Well, when I kept hung on to the rental stores and supported until the very, very end. Mm-hmm. Even up until I was living in Vegas at the time, and it was 2000, I want to say 9, and they still had a Hollywood Video.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I was going to, I would go every single weekend to rent movies. I wasn't renting games at that point, but I would go there. Every weekend, rent movies. And funny story was Netflix at that time. I don't know if they were founded in Las Vegas, but I was doing real estate at the time and we were managing commercial buildings. I was a manager for one of them. Netflix was one of our tenants, actually.
Whoa.
And that was nice. When Netflix was just doing the mail-in stuff.
Yeah.
They hadn't switched to the streaming. And I remember being like, what is this company, Netflix? Meanwhile, every weekend I'm going to Hollywood Video. And then I was like, wait, this company you can like mail in. And I never did it, but I was like, that's a pretty cool concept. Like, that's pretty awesome. And again, they were a tenant and they were like, we're doing that shipping thing. And then I think it must have been maybe 2010, 11, 12. They must have switched to the streaming. And it was over like that for like Blockbuster Hollywood Video. I just remember it was just done.
It's weird. The end was right around the corner for them. Yeah. And they didn't even know it.
Yeah.
Like the end of your
so quick
mega business was going for is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. It'd be like being a mom and pop retail shop and this little thing called Amazon pops up little down the street. And you're like, oh, it's this piece, little small thing. And before you know it, just takes over and wipes everything out.
Dang. And I was amazed when we moved here to California. So which was 6 years ago for me from the East Coast. In the East Coast, there was no rental stores left. Coming out here, there was still a few hanging on. Even in Huntington Beach, there was Jungle Video.
Yeah, oh, I remember Jungle Video.
That they just went under like a couple years ago.
That wasn't long ago.
I know, they hung on for a long time.
And I remember they had a great sign. The sign was cool. The sign was cool.
It's still up. Yeah, it's still there. And I think even around here, there are still some rental. Is there any around you guys? Are there any left?
There was one in Long Beach like 6 months ago.
They've slowly, unfortunately, like...
No, they're done. They're done.
Yeah, and I've Googled some to like go, and they'll still show up on Google, and then I've driven to them, and I'm like, oh, they're not here anymore. They disappeared, so...
Yeah.
I would love to go rent a movie. I still would love to do it.
Experience.
Yeah.
Isn't there one left in Bend, Oregon? Am I wrong?
Yes. Yeah.
It's like the Blockbuster. Yeah.
They call it the longest lasting.
Okay.
The last Blockbuster on Earth.
Yeah. Like that's kind of their marketing.
Yeah.
They kind of lean into that. Ricky, do you have any
I was going to say, I want to know your childhood rental. Like what's the one you went to and got every week?
So my childhood rental, it just reminds me of my dad because when I was a kid, weekends were with my dad. And then during the week, I was with my mom. So my dad would always try to make a blast for me. So every weekend I would go to the same video game store, Sky Video.
Video Esky.
Video Esky. I used to call it Video Esky because, you know, I was a kid. I didn't know what that guy was talking. But it was just, I loved it. I loved going there. My dad, I know he's trying to make the best day.
Yeah.
So he's just, you know, I got to pick out whatever game I wanted. I'm like, dude, so good.
What was your rental? What was your game?
It's a weird one because... I always go back between Art of Fighting, Street Fighter, and I already had Donkey Kong and all the ones I wanted.
You are a fighting game guy.
Yeah, he is.
And I don't know why I always pick those.
I feel like that would make sense as a rental, though, too, because it's a pick up and play.
Yeah, yeah.
You can pick up and play it versus like renting some mega Ocarina of Time.
I know how far
you got to vandalize it.
I think we just got like Epona, and then it was like we got to return it.
Oh, that's
got to
go back. And then somebody gets it and races your save file. You're
like, gosh, yeah.
About that, yeah.
Yeah. It was frustrating.
That's a tough
mine
one.
Was Legend of Kage on the NES was a big rental for me, which is so stupid. I don't know why I would rent that all the time. And Contra 3.
Legend of Cage?
Kage.
Cage.
Excuse me, newbie. It's Kage.
Cage.
It's Kage.
I think it's Cage.
We have a friend who did a whole history report on it. It's Kage.
I read it the same way.
Yeah, he did. Report. He's a historian. He literally did a whole video on the lore of Legend of Kage.
You're probably right.
And when I heard it, trust me, I was like... Oh,
yeah, no, my whole life. You were right. I was like, I just got to see if that's correct. So it was Kage.
Yeah.
Kage. And he did a report on that.
Yeah.
That's fine. Dude, he just got one.
Knuckles is gone.
Now, Ashley, did you ever rent a Harry Potter movie?
Oh, wait. Let's see it. Let's toss Ashley a ball. She's been big for all you guys.
It's okay. You don't have to.
She's a huge Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter nerd. All right. Wait, how about right now?
Basement is decked out in Lord of the Rings and Harry
Which
Potter.
Which is better? There's a right answer, and there is a right answer. Like, if you answer it wrong, you can walk out now.
Better how?
Better. It's better. Okay. Hey, you got to see one.
I don't like
one.
The Harry Potter movies. I will just put that out there. I don't think they're a faithful adaptation to the books. The books were my obsession So that is that's
rent that at Blockbuster.
In that regard,
you can't rent that at Blockbuster. Curtis said it right. So Lord of the Rings wins.
Lord of the Rings blows Harry Potter out of the water. The movies, at least, those were, I saw every single one like 5 times in the theater and just was obsessed. And I loved the books, loved it. That was like my entire personality for like a good 5 years. Just, I loved Lord of the Rings. And then, yeah, Harry Potter is so, have you guys read them? Has anyone read them? Have you guys read them?
I had my mom read them.
I try to avoid witchcraft. To you?
No,
I'm trying to. No. Ricky said he tries to avoid witchcraft.
Since I'm out of school now, I had my mom used to do like my book report, so she would do the Harry Potter stuff.
Yeah. Get out of here.
I didn't know you could read. I don't read.
Everyone's illiterate.
I mean, very.
I read Lord of the Rings.
You did.
Yeah,
you
Lord of the Rings books are incredible.
They're
and I
amazing.
Felt like
that was
the, not learn to read good.
You hold Lord of the Rings.
That was the best movie adaptation, yes. I feel, of anything. I didn't read Harry Potter, so I can't compare it. But
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm storming out now.
No. Yeah. Did you have
We're glad you got that out.
No. Lord of the Rings is
there any other like things you wanted to say about Harry Potter before you?
It's just wonderful.
Can you tell me like something, you know, one really nerdy thing? Just say, I know you've been wanting to talk about Harry Potter.
No, it's okay. Well,
give me something really nerdy. What's Dingledorf's
Dingledorf?
Name? Is that, I really don't know.
TJ never read the books, and he, my husband, and he'll call him Dumbledorf because it's Dumbledore.
Oh, Gandalf, I really thought it was Dingledorf. I actually thought it was Dingledorf.
Is that the bald one with the ears?
I thought it was two.
No, it's not Dingledorf.
I thought it was Dingledorf.
Dingledorf.
But I will say Dingledorf.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm giving you a pay cut.
Oh, no!
No. Retainer.
I can't. He's not a retainer. No, I think they're just such beautifully... They're very, very well written. I think they're beautifully written, beautiful story about so much more. It's that depth. I'm a big story nerd, so I love like a good, lots of lore, lots of depth, lots of story, lots of character development. So those are all up my alley, and I just think it's great.
That's
I love
good.
It. And they're doing a TV adaptation. I think they're doing every book as a season of TV, and they're because I didn't really ever like the movie, so I'm really excited for those
now,
in my nerdy way.
You are excited.
Adapting them really faithfully, apparently, to the books.
I was gonna say, because that can also be the biggest scary thing is when they adapt something you love, because you're like, oh, and then they just ruin it.
Oh,
and it happens
the
all the time.
Worst.
Did you ever read Wheel of Time?
Oh yeah.
I do have the series out right
what
now.
What did you think?
I enjoy it because I just kind of pushed that aside.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pixel Book Club.
Because when you said you love in-depth and character development, Wheel of
that.
Time to me is like
it's
the
so
most
great.
Big, the best master.
I love Wheel of Fortune. I love writing movies. It's fun.
We're going to do our own pad. Hollywood video is really good.
Let's wrap it in.
Hey, you guys are done. We're going to continue the podcast.
The listeners at home just got a mouthful of audio. All right. So anyway, we're gonna talk about like maybe like an experience or like a movie that you rented at these rental stores. Do you guys have like a very good experience?
I think two things to really point out that were always big for me in rental stores were two funny things. First of all, horror movies. And not even renting them, but I just remember so many of the covers were so vile that as a kid I would walk by and be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them like really stick in my head, like The Dentist, or even just the iconicness of, you know, of It, which is with the red letters, or Amityville Horror, Halloween with the stabs. But it's always the funky B horror movies that had like the next level, like freaky looking cover arts. Those were always huge to me. And I just have to point it out, just because we have to point it out, and don't none of you pretend like you didn't. You can probably didn't. But as a child, looking at the beads in the room you're not allowed to enter, and you're like, what's back there? And then your first time when someone walked in, you saw the beads swing, and you're like, oh my, that's what's back there.
I wish you would have done the Arkansas figure. Oh my.
And then from then on, every time you walk by, you're just like,
were those at Blockbusters? Did Blockbuster
no, have they were rental stores.
But maybe Blockbuster.
I don't think Blockbuster per se.
I think that Blockbuster by maybe. Us had that room in the back. There was like a door, like a swing door.
Maybe early on.
I think.
Maybe.
You know what we're talking about?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was about where they kept the books.
Yeah, the books were.
There probably was a movie called Harry Potter.
Oh, gosh.
I will tell you.
Oh, gosh.
Do any of you else have experiences other than horror like that?
I mean, I always loved the candy. I just remember going in and there was just candy and the popcorn and like Just the big displays of like the big giant size candy.
I still buy my used games there. It was so cheap. I was like, yes.
You would buy games?
I would buy games at Blockbuster.
When they were like selling them afterwards?
Afterwards, yeah. When they were all beat up and I'm just like, I'll take it.
That's where you started.
But I guess they did.
That's right.
I think our two go-to constantly were like League of Their Own and Kindergarten Cop. We'd always get those two. We'd rent them.
Because
those are very
really
rewatchable movies, and those were nostalgic for us, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I remember my least favorite thing about rental stores was all the late fees. I was horrible at returning movies.
That's where I was just going with it.
Yeah. I was so bad, and I would just be like, okay, I'm going to return it, and then the next day. And then I think if you missed it by like even minutes, they would be like, oh yeah, it's a full day. Now you got to rent it again. I'm like, dang, that was like $4 more.
And I'm almost positive it's something like, somebody Google it, leave it in the comments, I'll pin it. Like 35% or something of their money is late fees. Like
really?
It was like a massive number is their number of income. And I'm like, that is sad to say, a fantastic business model as far as profit goes. Like, how do we smoke them?
Yeah.
Buy well if they're late 5 minutes. Especially with games, I can't imagine how many late fees you get on games. Because movies, you can pop and be like, okay, there's 30 minutes left. Play it. I have 30 minutes. Games.
Well, yeah.
There
was also a new boss, you know.
Right. There was also that rewind fee. If you didn't rewind it, that's $2.
There was a rewind
fee?
Gosh, I never got hit with that.
Where were you at, bro?
Dude.
Sky Video.
Dude, they were just taxing
Dusty on that store.
Yeah, they were just like, oh yeah, another $2 for you,
buddy.
Nail
you.
The one thing that I remembered most about the Blockbuster is the drop-off box.
Yeah,
that,
I do love
that.
Yeah.
Epic, man. And just put it in
Ricky
there.
Ricky has
Who
one.
Who bought one? Have one.
Oh, no
Coming
way.
To SoCal. You said you're going to bring it to SoCal.
I'm going to bring it to SoCal. I'm just going to stick their ticket in there. Just,
I remember my Blockbuster had this like makeshift ADU ramp, but it was like rickety, kind of like wood. So you'd step on it and bounce. And I just remember like having like games and VHSs in my hand. And my mom's like, get out of here, dude. And I just loved Blockbuster back in the day, man.
It's hitting me nostalgically. I remember one of my favorite things, too, was like, there was almost like pride too in some, not everybody, of course, any job, but there was a lot of people who worked there who loved it, right? Like even some, I remember when I worked at, this guy was kind of like an aspiring like movie critic type guy. So we used to go to him and ask him for suggestions and we would just trust him. You know, it could be anything. Hey, I remember he gave me The Butterfly Effect. That was one of the things he gave me. And I remember just being like, give me a movie and I'll go watch it. And it was so fun it's like, your little own virtual room of like someone nowadays, just someone recommending you something.
Which is what like the video game stores offer today. One reason why do people come down, you can buy a lot of the games that we sell online on eBay and Amazon, but that experience, I miss that as well. Yeah. When you were at the movie store, asking people their opinions, and that's gone. That it's just forever not there anymore.
You hit me with the popcorn and the candy earlier when you said that, by the way. I meant to comment on that. That was such a thing for me. Like you said, like your dad wanted to make it an event, make it a thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a part of your night. Like, we're going to go to Blockbuster. We're going to get
popcorn.
Yeah,
you get all the candy, the popcorn. Mm-hmm. You come home. And then it was like family night because you're always watching it together.
They hit you on the way out because it's like right at the counter.
Smart.
Yeah.
But it's worth it.
There was always a Pizza Hut by mine, too. I was like, dang it, we're getting... Oh, actually, I was happy.
And Pizza Hut! I know we said this before, but like, what a time where when you go home, it's the 90s, right? And you have a movie, your whole family's there, nobody's distracted.
Yeah.
Nobody's looking at their phone.
That's
nobody,
true.
No notifications are going off. Nobody's off checking their feed. It's it. There's the movie is your night with your family, with your mom and dad. Dad probably snoring half the time, like my dad. You know, my dad's thing was like, my other buddy does it too now, where he'd be asleep and like try to pretend like he was awake. So he'll see something, like comment on it. But it has like, it's like what's happening in the moment. I'll be like, oh, that gun's really shiny. I love it. And I'm like, okay. Shout out to dad because I know he listens. So probably falls asleep when Curtis talks on the podcast. I'm just kidding. I love you, Curtis.
Anyway, we're going to go on to our last topic. I think we have enough time for it.
It's I don't even know the time. I'm trusting you.
It's going to be the future of YouTube.
Oh,
I'm going to have Ricky run the questions.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you out of here?
All right, guys.
Are you squeezing a big poop out?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to do this for Curtis. All right, guys. Where do you see the future of YouTube going since you started roughly 6 years ago?
Is that you?
Yeah, I guess. I think YouTube Shorts are going to be really big, which is really sad because I income wise, it just is so much less.
I love that you went straight to the money. I mean, really, because of the money.
And I tell my, like, I do a year recap of my channel and my, with my audience. I'm like, this is how much I made. So yeah, I mean, it's, it, and I don't think there's as much of a connection with short form content, maybe with some creators who have a gift for it. But it's really tough to see that, like, all the views are going there.
Yeah.
So I do think that's going to be a huge part of it. Although I just, I hope long form doesn't go away. I don't think it will, but I definitely think, YouTube is becoming more of a, it's an app on the TV. People are watching at night, like it's almost like in that 20 minute, sick, oh, let's watch this episode of whatever. But then on their phones, they're just doing the shorts. I think that's kind of what I'm seeing. I don't
know.
It's
almost like two different audiences.
Two different audiences. And yeah, even with comments on my short form versus my long form, the comments are like really savage on the shorts. Because they don't know me. They're just like, who is this lady?
Yeah. So, I don't watch shorts at all.
You don't watch any shorts?
I don't watch any shorts. Really? I don't like them.
Really?
I'm sorry.
I watch shorts.
It's so fascinating. You know? I'll try and I'm like, that was it. I'm like, I want to watch the whole thing. I want to put something that'll distract me for at least 5 minutes.
Okay.
There is an art to shorts, of course. I never want to take away credit from people who are killing it in the shorts. Yeah. You know, and they're doing great. But long form, and I'm just an old school YouTube guy. I'm obviously an editor. I love the time and the effort. I like, even though shorts can get you, you know, you can get emotional watching people give away money and there's this and that, or, you know, it's really funny because it's quick and there's a certain way they do it. But to me, nothing will ever beat that long form of, like, you know, the longer you build an emotion, the bigger the reaction at the end.
Totally.
So even though there are, like, you know, shorts that are impactful, when they're spread out into a long video that's properly done, of course, because there's people too who drag out videos, I feel like the result is always so much better.
Yeah.
Shorts too, like you said, I see so many creators. There's a guy I watch. I don't think he's ever watched their channel. His name's Minty Comedic Reviews. He does, like, he's a big, like, 10 things you didn't know about Friday the 13th, Harry Potter, whatever it could be. And I saw him do a post recently being, like, really discouraged by shorts. And he's like, YouTube wants me so bad to do it, and I don't want to do it. Like, I don't want to give you guys don't take this as shorts being that way, but, like, I don't want to give you guys crappy content to try to get some new subscribers.
Right.
You know, he's like, I want to give you good, heartfelt, real educated things that I researched for, you know, 50 hours to find out about. Like, I'll use NES Complex, our good buddy. We have a buddy who does a series called Declassified, and he goes into, like, deep Nintendo lore that, like, nobody knows. I mean, he's reading books for days written by different developers to find out one little thing that people don't know. And he's like, that deserves a full video.
So why do you think YouTube is pushing that algorithm? Like, what is their thinking? Like, why, if they already had this platform with long form being successful, right? Like, why did they, is it just to compete with, like, TikTok and, like,
who's growing up and getting more engaged with media?
Oh, so there was just the younger kids, you think?
TikTok is
and
so
retention
huge.
Time.
But why would you want to jump into that if that was already available? Why wouldn't you want to stick true to, like, okay, this is what we do. You guys are TikTok.
I know, right?
And you're Reels. Why did they feel the need to?
But
if you guys say you don't make any money off of it, so it's not a revenue thing.
Yeah.
Is it because they're keeping all the money? Like, what?
We don't know, of course, the innards of YouTube and every other podcast. You know, you listen to Colin Samir too.
Yeah.
Every other podcast you listen to is like, they're going towards short form. Well, now they're pushing towards long form.
Right.
Now, so it's like, it's always this big circle of who knows what. But I will say, definitely the easiest way to grow is shorts. But I will say, when I went to YouTube Summit, they were very clear. YouTube is not really caring about subscribers at all.
Yeah.
They wish they didn't say, here's your play button because you got 100,000 subscribers.
Yeah.
It should be based on views now. Because subscribers, and I don't mean to, I'm never knocking anyone, we've talked about it before, but, like, subscribers are nearly irrelevant sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many, and I've said it, channels with so many subscribers that are getting lower views than you can imagine for the subscriber count.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, please don't take it that way for doing shorts. Awesome. I know plenty of people are killing it with shorts. I love them. They're doing great. But it's like almost like there's a lot of it that's just like almost just like stroking ego. Like, shoot, I'm getting huge off these. Mm. But really, you're not seeing an actual benefit other than it being, you know, you're having fun doing it maybe and you're getting that. But you're not getting, like, at least right now on YouTube, you know, I have multiple shorts with millions of views and it's like 4 cents.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yep.
Yeah, but also don't get discouraged for just putting out content that you feel that is
no, like, that's what you should do. That's what we want.
Yeah.
But like, it's hard to make the time to make a short when I want to edit it and make it good when I know 100,000 views will get $9. And I'm like, like, it's good. And it's like, I don't know. It's a hard, I do think YouTube though, for the future of YouTube, I think they have really the only secure social media platform that successfully does long form content. I think Instagram's tried it with IGTV, if you remember that. Oh, yeah. TikTok and that failed. And I think TikTok has said you can do, it always tells me you can upload 10-minute videos. But I think YouTube is where people just know to go to do the long form. And that's where I think the best creators try to go, because they know that that's where there's sustainability with their business. You know, it makes the most sense. And Mr. Beast, he's not exactly focusing on shorts. He makes them and he does a really good job, but his goal is long form for sure.
So. I the best definitely agree possible. With that sentiment, because YouTube has definitely stayed on brand with being who they are and letting the creator be who they really want to be.
Yeah.
To an extent.
There's a lot of
canceled people.
There are those type of rules, but I mean, like, in the aspect of YouTube, it's not very controversial. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like TikTok, because it's owned by a certain company outside of the U.S., it's controversial. Mm-hmm. They steal data. All companies do. But, I mean, like, they're more known for it. You know what I mean? And I feel like it's more brand-friendly for somebody to get on YouTube and be able to create a living off of it, because they know it's, like, secure. They have their audience. It's one of the largest audiences anywhere, right?
Google.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's, like, one of the top anything in the world. But, yeah, I think, I mean, as far as, like, shorts go, again, I still can enjoy it, but I really just pray that long stays around, because I love consuming it much more. I love creating it much more. Mm-hmm. I can walk away from a short and whether I'm like, oh, that was fun or that was sad, but I never, like, it never impacts me going forward through my day. Like, I like to be impacted
when I run out of long form content. It's like all I take in. I'm like a degenerate. I'm just like swipe on to the next one. But I was going to have, Ricky, do you have a question on there?
Yeah. So with all this, where do you guys think the reselling market's going to go? Like, the reselling content?
Do you think there is still a future in what we do, collecting, reselling? Yeah. Is it going to get old? Is it tiresome? How long can this last of people going, I went to a swap meet today and I found this?
I hope a really long time. I do think that obviously there's a market for people who just want to flip it on and relax and watch cool things being discovered. But it also is really conducive to short form. I mean, people are impatient. I think it's cool to see, I went into a store, I got this, it sold for this, the end. But I hope that there's...
I like how both me and you are, like, kind of dying inside right now. I'm, like, looking at you and I feel it. I'm like, yeah, I'm dying inside right now.
I'm so scared. I can't do only shorts. Yeah. I can't. It'd be so sad to see that arm of my business completely die. But I don't think it will. I do think, because there's such a connection. I feel so connected to the people that watch my longer videos, and they're like my family, and I'm so grateful for them. And I just feel like, I don't know, I hope that doesn't go away too. But like, yeah, I think hopefully reselling doesn't go away. It's more competitive, I think. Do you think that's more competitive? I think reselling's getting a little more.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so, goodness.
Definitely.
So maybe that will be a factor, more people.
I'm about to go to the luggage cargo next.
I'll give you the details.
More competitive.
It'll ship to you. I'll help you out.
Now, I know this is not on brand or on topic, but how was your experience going out to the swap meet with us and kind of discovering, like, what you did?
So today was kind of a new content. I know you've been to swap meets before, kind of that.
Oh yeah.
What was it like new content, California swap meet hunting? Was it, did so you feel fun. Like it was a
heaven
experience? It was
wonderful.
It
we're heaven. Moving it was awesome.
The announcement.
The people, I was kind of expect, I'm like, oh, I'm in Southern California, I bet everyone's like much more like rude
into
the, but they weren't, they were so nice. I was like blown away at how accommodating, nice. They understood what I do. They don't care. They're like, I'll cut you a deal. You're buying bulk. Here's my number. Let's connect. I was really blown away by that. Really great stuff. I mean, you're in a great location to get amazing stuff.
Yeah.
I spent $1,740 today.
Nice.
Thank you, Riff. He had Zelle and I did not have that set up. So I was like,
can you give me like $1,000?
And I just like, but I did Venmo you right after.
Yeah, so of course, just you're fine. Yes.
But it was incredible. And I honestly think I'm going to be coming back way sooner because I need to connect with that swap meet again. It's I think I have $10,000 of stuff in my car.
I was going to say,
coming out later.
You not only got
good. Me, please.
You not only got good content, but you got for your business.
Amazing.
Well worth.
Amazing
also,
stuff.
I will say to the California thing, I was going to make a joke, but maybe possibly true. You're in Southern California right by the beach. I mean, it's hard to find people who can be in a bad mood. Even that swap meet. Right. Actually, we've never really said that on anywhere.
What?
That swap meet that we go to week after week is a few minutes from the beach.
It's yeah. It's
so you're that salty air. Everyone's so nice.
It's a pretty happy place.
Yeah, everyone's just chill and like doing their thing. And like we were up. I mean, you go so early. I was getting my kids out of the hotel bed. Like, come on, you guys. But we went right at 7, and there's. I was surprised that they're. I know, right?
You're right. Like, super late.
Curtis was there.
I know. You guys are. I get why you go that early. I get it. Because people are there, but no one's like bugged that you're there early. I think in Utah, it's like no early birds. No, don't come early. No one interrupt. But as they were unloading at that one booth, right as it was going on the rack, people were fighting and taking it, but not fighting. It wasn't even like aggressive.
Yeah,
it was
just like, here's the product.
And they did not care. And the guy I talked to has been doing this for 20 years and he just was the nicest person. So I honestly, like I was texting TJ, like I'm going to have to come back regularly just for the swap meet. It's insane what the deals are. It's crazy good.
Do you have a swap meet, like a big one in your Salt Lake?
We do. Yeah. We're in Salt Lake City. There's one at the Redwood Drive-In. It's like a drive-in movie theater, but also swap meet every single Friday, Saturday. It's fine. I found good stuff, but it's not like this. It's people are really, I've tried to negotiate on prices and they're very like, absolutely not in the walk away. And I'm like, it's rough.
I'm from Connecticut originally. Okay. We have like one at the drive-in as well.
Oh, you do? So, yeah, okay, very cool.
And there's good vendors, but it's like, oh, maybe one or two guys. And then the rest we walked by. Okay, let's go home kind of thing. Not like the madness that we experienced.
Yeah.
Good madness.
Five carts.
We had five carts. I had to unload
6 foot tall.
Real.
I had to unload twice today. In addition to your 1,700, but today was kind of a crazy day.
We all spent a lot today.
Yeah.
Unreal day.
But like five, maybe six carts. It was like a wagon
of carts.
And they
were filled like 6 feet tall.
Filled 6 feet high. You saw when I at one point came over to you guys and I was like, oh, look at your guys' little measly piles. And they were full. And
just
mine
joking,
was like stacked up like falling over off the
top. Honestly had the expectation because it's a new scene. I didn't think you were going to be able to find that type of like, find like that.
You know what
I mean? You did good.
I do like to just, when I'm in the zone, I like to just go, I'm going and combing through everything and like, but I got a tip off from Blake, who was the one who told me, hey, there's this guy who has really nice stuff. And that, once I went over there, all the magic happened. It was done.
It felt like it was a perfect day for you because like we have more people like hey, do you know anybody that like buys Pendleton buys
Did you get that Pendleton stuff?
No, where was that?
Sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Our buddy. Sorry. I was watching your kids.
You were watching my kids.
I took your kids to eat.
My kids were so bored. Yeah,
they were great.
Took them to get tacos.
They were great.
So I could go back to that guy and get more money and buy even more. It was amazing. Yeah, like I got, oh my gosh, I'm so happy. But yeah, it was a great experience. And I'll definitely, like, he reminds me of Tommy back at home. I have Salt Lake, I have a contact, Tommy, who I've made videos about, who has amazing stuff. He gets truckloads and he's just looking to move it. So that's the kind of person you want to connect with. People who are like, we're moving this stuff. You're a bulk buyer. Awesome. Not kind of the penny pinching I've seen at the Redwood Flea. I don't know, but maybe I need to just make better contacts.
Interesting to see like, how we're like, you were down here the weekend and you're like, man, these guys hung out like 3 days of like the
it's
week,
awesome.
Just like all the boys hanging. Is that like a weird thing?
So fun. Not weird. It was awesome. It was so cool to see like, you guys are just the nicest. We are just having the best experience and you guys have been nothing but gracious, kind, wonderful to my kids. Like this has beat Disneyland for them. They're like, this was more fun.
Wow.
This was cooler. They love hanging out with you. So,
well, you've raised good kids. We can say that they were
made a peep.
They weren't complaining at the swap meet. I'm sure they're not having a blast,
but they don't say a word. Yeah.
They're hanging out. They're just
smiling.
They're being good kids. So take pride in
it's
that
all
you raised.
TJ. And TJ did it.
Well, TJ, good job, man. No, you guys have done a great job.
Hustle home, dad.
Hustle home, papa.
Hey. All right. Well, I mean, we're going to close this one out. I want to say that all the audio full episodes will be linked in the description. And I want to say thank you guys for all the support. Ashley, thank you for being
here. Thank you, Ashley.
Please go subscribe to Hustle at Home Mom.
Come
and, check it out. We have a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we should put it in the description for her channel.
I'll make sure that Curtis does that.
Oh.
No, for sure.
Thank you guys.
Thank
have a good
you.
One.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's it.